I'd like to call this Council and Budget Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present.
Thank you. There are no announcements, no addendum. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Being none, then I'll hand the chair over to the Chair of Finance, Councilor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship, and good evening. I think what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through every single section, so this way we can discuss and debate. And the way it's shown in our agenda, in order to break it out, I'm wondering if I could have one of my colleagues move that Council deals with the recommendations contained in Report CBC 07-2016 separately. Councillor Butler? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Lieberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. So what we're going to do is we're going to go like part one, part two separately?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, have we already dealt with recommendation under first recommendation? Have we already dealt with that? We deal with that last week?
No, we adjourned.
Yeah, I've got that. So we'll need to deal with that.
Are there any other questions? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for clarification purposes, when we're dealing with each one.
Yes. All those in favor? That carries. So that will bring us to part 1.1, that 2016 supplementary base budget funding for capital reserves strategic investment increase in the amount of $600,000 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott, are there any questions or comments? Mayor Redicott?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we're going to deal with part one in its entirety. So when we vote, we're going to be voting on the items as a package?
No, we're voting on each individual item.
So part one is on the floor?
Part 1.1, yes.
1.1, okay. Got it.
Are there any questions with regard to part 1.1? Councillor Lieberts?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not quite sure how we're going about this because if we're going through this item by item, first of all, the problem that I have is I can't support a 7.2% increase in taxes. And so what I would like to see is I would like to see some discussion on how we can move this whole budget process to the point where we can get it down to something that's more acceptable to myself and to a lot of the residents in Fort Erie. And at our last meeting, you know, we had our reports and we had our the slideshow from our director. And I mean no disrespect to anybody, but when one of the things that was on there was a graph with the tax base and that Fort Erie was average. And although we're average, the problem that we have in Fort Erie is the burden on the taxpayer to pay their taxes is higher here. And I think what we need to do is we need to take a look at dropping some of this or maybe even eliminating some of these so that we can get down to where I'm looking at a 3.5 or 4%. But at 7.2%, there's some things in here I think that we need to remove. And I'm just hoping that we have an opportunity to do that before we go approving item by item.
Councilor Lewis, we actually are going to go line by line, and I think going by each individual line, it allows any councilor to make an amendment to the amount, change the source. So rather than grouping it in part lots, by going through section line by line, then you could make amendments. So I think maybe I'm not explaining the way we're proceeding properly, but it is exactly what you're asking for. Mr. Jensen?
Yes, Chair, if I might just add, I do have on the screen the total sum of all items in the supplementary, including the town portion and the total portion. As we go along, keep in mind that for every approximately $230,000 that's removed from the supplementary section, that'll reduce the town's rate by 1%. So use that as a guide, but certainly as we're moving along, I can present different scenarios that you wish to see.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, but going item by item, where I'm looking at is that if we go item by item, it doesn't give everybody an opportunity to move back and forth and discuss where we can make some cuts, where we can't make some cuts, because you're going at 1.1 right now, and maybe it might be something that might be compromised later and say, well, maybe we could do a little less there and a little more over here. So I was hoping that we could have some discussion amongst all of us, and unless everybody is happy with a 7.2% increase in taxes, which, I mean, I can't go with that. And I don't know how anybody else feels, but I can't accept that.
Mayor Redekop?
I think it would be helpful if we just had Mr. Jansen kind of give a very quick overview just for people who are tuning in this week and weren't listening last week, they're going to miss where we are. And I think it might be helpful if Mr. Jansen just kind of gave us an overview. I thought it was 7.14%. I see 7.4 in here. I don't know whether something changed last week, but there's a distinction between the town's portion of the levy and the increase, as well as the impact on that when we take into account the regional budget and the educational tax assessment. So maybe that might be helpful, Madam Chair, if we just got a little bit of background, help refresh our memory. But that's why we took a week off. We took a week off so that councillors could share their views on what changes they thought might take place, and that's so. I mean, anyways,
Mr. Jansen, would you be okay with giving us a refresher?
Sure. What I'll do is I will go through Appendix 1 and 2 because those are the ones that do summarize the impacts both for the total levy, which is in column 2, the median household, which is column 3. And then as well for the total tax bill for the town of Fort Erie taxpayer, which is in column 4. So if you look at the base items as presented in the report, the total change of the base budget is a decrease of the total levy of 0.62%, which is at the very bottom of Appendix 1 or at the bottom of your screen as it is right now. That translates into negative 0.85%. And then again, maybe what I won't do is just repeat these numbers each time, but if there's clarification needed, I can offer that. But the bottom of Appendix 1 does show the total base budget impacts, which is an overall decrease. And then at the bottom of Appendix 2 is the sum of all items as submitted, which for the town is 8%. So when combined with the supplementary with the decrease in the base, the overall increase for the town is for the median household, which is column 3, 7.14%, as the mayor mentioned, or 2.69% for the total tax bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Jansen? Okay, so we are on item 1.1. That's on the floor. Councillor McDermott moved that. Are there any additional questions regarding item 1.1? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just not a question specific to 1.1, but just further to Councilor Lubert's concern. We'll go through line by line and make any amendments, any changes necessary. There's always the opportunity to double back around. So if council finds savings of X number of dollars towards the end and a member of council feels maybe we should go back and revisit an item, that option is always there. But I'd prefer just to go line by line, Madam Chair, because if we discuss everything from soup to nuts at once, we're going to be here a long, long time. And my boss needs me at work for midnight.
Are there any other questions? Councilor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to clarify again on the $600,000, this is to make up for the $100,000 from last year. Is that correct? That we didn't put in last year?
Mr. Jansen?
Yes, if you look at the supplemental request form for this, it's the amount that was foregone in prior year, yes.
Councilor Roberts?
So next year we're back to the $500,000 because I remember last week when we were discussing this, the mayor was concerned of the fact that if we go with a $600,000 and another $200,000 and the next item, then next year you're coming back with $800,000. Next year you're coming back with $500,000, right? Is that correct?
Mr. Jansen?
You, Chair. Yes, that is correct. If you look at the multi-years on that supplemental submission form, you'll see that it's $600,000 for this year. But then in year two, that we only add in back again the $500,000 to make it the $1.1 million. So you're right, it is reverting back to the $500,000, of course, with the note that we expect to bring forward a revised financing strategy during 2016.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Matt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. through you to Mr. Cookett, do we have an ETA on when the asset management plan is going to be finalized and available?
Mr. Cookett?
Through you, Chair, to the Councillor, I'm going to defer that to Mr. Walsh. He's been working directly with a consultant.
My apologies. I was conversing with Mr. Brady on another matter at the time. Can you repeat the question? Who's work related?
Certainly, Mr. Walsh. The asset management plan, what is the ETA on the completed report coming to Council?
Through you, Madam Chair, we have the completed report in staff's hands. We're debating some of the numbers that have been put forward into it and how to bring them best forward to Council's attention. Right now, I can't give you an answer on when that report will be coming.
Thank you.
You still have the floor, Mr.
Oh. Sorry, if I may outline what I think our strategy should be, is that over the next 2 years, as we update our master plans and look at each asset class in depth and detail, we will have much more accurate numbers than what the asset management plan states, and that we can break it down per asset class. Right now, it gives a number that is levy-supported assets, which includes fire, facilities, roads, IT, furniture, everything. It's all lumped together as one number, and it doesn't give us, I don't think, what we need right now. We have, for the March CIC, or Council and Committee meeting, we have the bridge report, a biannual bridge report coming. In that, I will have a number that should be presented into the annual bridge-supported reserve or bridge repair reserve that can give us a more accurate number on what's in the asset management plan. So by the time we get through all our master plans, it's probably going to be 2 years before we get the full number.
Thank you. Madam Chair, through you to Mr. Jansen, are you reviewing the asset management plan when you're doing your strategic guidance that you're going to bring forward for 2016?
through you, Chair, to Councillor Knott. Yes, that will be, we will be looking to revise that as soon as possible. Mr. Walsh is quite correct that we want it to be as accurate as possible if we're adopting a longer-term plan, but we hope to bring forward at least some measure of an update on the financing strategy in the year.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. I don't have a problem supporting money going to infrastructure, especially because of the number of calls that we get for roads, and I think it's incredibly important that we get as much of the clay and cast iron pipe replaced in the ground as possible. So I don't have a problem supporting this. But again, my issue all stems from, is it the right number? We've seen the AMO report that Mr. Jansen referenced, had a chance to go on and breeze through it, and it says we should be doing 3.84, but we're only doing 2.5. Like, I struggle answering citizens' questions and concerns based on the different information, and I'd like for us to get to a point that we're confident that this is the correct information for Fort Erie, and this is the correct contribution. And I think that troubles all of us around the horseshoe, because we want to do the right thing for the community, which is replace the deteriorating infrastructure. But I think right now it's like we're feeling through a dark room. We just need to get our heads around that data, and it needs to come sooner than later, because we're starting on our second budget, technically our first with this group, but the second budget year, and we have only a couple more years to facilitate some kind of strategy that will get us to where we need to go. So I just implore you to try and get that data to us as quick as possible.
Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment on that?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, through you. Council will recall back in, I think, July or August, I brought forward report IS 20, 2015, and in that it had just the roads infrastructure debt number in it, around $23 million.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Councilor Mayor Redicott?
If I might, Madam Chair, I'm going to support this. I might even support $600,000 next year to catch up on what I think was the shortfall. The question that I have is, while we're putting these monies into reserves and we've got projects that are planned, how many projects do we have currently, capital projects, that would qualify for, as an example, a federal infrastructure program, which we know is coming down the pipe pretty soon? What position would we be in? Because if we don't have projects that are ready to go, we stand to miss out on opportunities. And every opportunity that we can get to spend 33 cents to get a dollar's worth of infrastructure. So I'm wondering where we stand in terms of projects ready to go at this stage of the game to facilitate the reason why we're putting money into reserves.
Mr. Walsh, can you comment?
Yes, Madam Chair. We have about $12 million worth of projects on the shelf that we could pump out the door tomorrow. So when the grant applications come forward, Council has my assurances we'll be hammering those hard.
Perfect. Thank you. Anything further? Councillor Becerro?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to commend Infrastructure Services for that last comment, because when we went through this the last time around with federal and provincial infrastructure funding, we only had two projects, and that was the Ridge Road reconstruction and the skateboard park. Those were the only two eligible shovel-ready projects that we had in the municipality that were eligible, and we were very successful. We got both of them done. So I'm happy to hear that those projects are ready to go, and I think that dovetails perfectly in the conversation we had during the capital portion of our budget meeting, which was the discussion maybe in the future about debenture financing to further leverage those dollars coming down from other levels of government to get the best bang for our buck. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any additional comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to part 1.2, that 2016 supplementary base budget funding for road refurbishing reserves strategic investment increase in the amount of $200,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Butler?
Are there any questions or comments? Mayor Redekop?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is, I guess, where I get puzzled by opening comments from Councillor Lubberts about being concerned about the size of the levy increase if we go through all of this. If we don't find areas where we can alter some of these monies coming from general levy, that means there are going to be tax increases. This is the largest of the items that's in the supplemental budget. If we do nothing with respect to the operating budget, this is the only area where we could have any impact on the reduction. And if we don't do anything with this one to take it out of the operating levy, it's in the operating levy, then have limited ability elsewhere, because the only other large project would be the capital project relative to the expansion of the Circle route, where we're going to be working in conjunction with the Parks Commission and whatever other funding source. So this has caused me a lot of consternation as to powerful a word, but a lot of thought over the past week, and you all know what my thoughts are with respect to this and how it should be funded. And I've been struggling, and I've been talking to the Director of Finance on a daily basis about the reserve funds and where we are, where we're going to be going, where we are relative to where we would have been had the policy in 2013 been followed. And as I was driving, I was all over Niagara today, but as I was in my car, at least it was fruitful because I had an opportunity to think about this. Had the policy adopted in 2013 of putting $500,000 per year cumulative into reserves, that would have totaled over a five-year period $7.5 million. As we're moving forward, $600,000 this year, another $600,000 next year, additional $200,000 from whatever source it might come from, we're going to be around $6.2 million. So we're about $1.3 million short. But every year that we increase the amount that we put into the capital reserve from the general levy, we institutionalize that amount. So theoretically, we could next year put another $600,000 into the general levy with impact that would bring us closer to the goal that we had, so that by 2021, I'm advised by Mr. Jansen that continuing on what we're doing, not taking into account this $200,000 from an operating perspective, by 2021, we will have hit the target for capital reserves that we had set out in 2013. Beyond that, we're going to be beyond the target. We'll start accumulating money at a higher rate than we had anticipated. Nothing wrong with that. And in fact, that might be prudent. I think Councillor Nutt has hit on one of the issues, and that is, what is the right number for us? We don't know what the right number is. We know that the province says on an average it should be 3 point whatever. That takes into account presumably all the municipalities in Ontario, some of which like Toronto have mammoth infrastructure gaps. So what is the right number for us? Is it 2.5? Who knows? The concern that I have, and I appreciate the comments that I got back from all of the councillors with respect to my thinking, because I know that everybody is concerned about this, is concerned about the infrastructure gap. But I look at this in terms of we are the stewards of the taxpayers' money. We have to do what's most prudent and what's best, not only in the short term, but mostly in the long term. In many respects, it's no different than what we do when we manage our own finances. We have a responsibility to our family to make sure that we manage prudently. And the problem with the individual homeowner is that the individual homeowner has a finite amount of resources available. From year to year, may have the same types of pressures on their money. They've got the utilities, they've got the taxes, they've got the car, they've got the food, they've got the clothing, they've got the kids' activities, they've got their home if they own a home to maintain. And so every prudent homeowner would set aside money if they had money to make sure that they can cover the roof repairs, the window repairs, rejuvenation of the kitchen appliances and what have you. Some people are fortunate enough to be able to do that and some people aren't. The vast majority of people struggle to be able to cover all those expenses and still set aside money. We're different in the sense that we have been advised by our advisors, our staff, that this is what you should be doing with the taxpayers' money. And by the way, these are your responsibilities, and here's where we think you should be putting money, and this is what we think you should be doing. One of which is funding the infrastructure gap. The luxury that we have is we're not necessarily constrained by a finite sum of money. What we can do is simply say, you're right, we're going to pay all of these bills that we have to pay, and we're also going to set aside money to maintain our infrastructure. And it's going to come from that external source, which in our case happens to be primarily taxes that we collect from the residents, but also if we're fortunate, we can generate revenues from other sources, other government programs, sometimes the OMPF, which this year, a large boost, which we're going to be able to put into road refurbishing. So I guess the concern that I have is, what constrains us? What is it that determines when we decide that this is as much as the taxpayer can bear this year? Last year was different. Maybe next year will be different. We believe that there's going to be assessment growth. We haven't had much assessment growth to be able to rely upon. For years and years and years, the city of Mississauga was able to rely upon assessment growth to cover a lot of its additional expenditures. We don't have that, but we hope we're going to have that. And when we have that, that reduces the burden, or permits us to consider reducing the burden on the existing taxpayers by not increasing taxes or minimizing the increase. If, to go back to the analogy of the homeowner, if we were sitting down at our kitchen table and we were trying to figure out our budget, we would be looking at every line item. We would be looking at everything. And we would be looking at whether there's an area on the left that we might be able to save a little bit of money on and still get through the coming year, so that's money that we could maybe put over here to the right for fixing the roof that's going to need to be replaced 5 years from now. We're not doing that. We're not going through the operating budget at all, as far as I can tell. There are only two items that I had recommended we could take out, and those are small. It's $36,000, which is, Mr. Jansen, that would be what, a seventh, less than an eighth of the, I guess it would be about a seventh of the, of a point, a percentage point. So it's not a large sum of money out of millions and millions and millions of dollars. So Councillor Lubert says he's not happy with the size of the increase. Where would you take the money out? I mean, where would it come out? How do we address this? I think we're all very concerned about this. I think we all take our responsibilities very seriously as stewards of the taxpayer's purse. So you now have the benefit of being able to sit here and making these decisions, which for all those people that are out on the other side of this council horseshoe, seem to be very easy. We've got lots of suggestions, but I'm just wondering where we start. I mean, maybe the majority of council is content with the budget as it's been presented. Maybe there are some minor things that people would like to take out. Maybe there are others like me. You've seen what I've presented. I would like to be able to either eliminate or pay in some other fashion other than through the levy about $330,000, which is a point and a half, which would get us down to under 6% on the town side and around just over 2%, I guess, on the total. Those are my thoughts. without really seriously looking at what we could do on the operating side. And maybe that's the strategy. Maybe the strategy is that between now and next year at this time, we seriously, critically look at the operating budget and go through the departments and look at where there might be savings, rely upon perhaps some assessment growth, whatever. It's a challenging issue. I guess when I think about this item that we're talking about right now, or that I'm asking, $200,000 for the road refurbishing reserve, I agree with putting additional money into the road reserve. I agree with the OMPF funding in the sum of $401,000 going into the refurbishing. I think that's what we've done. I agree with that because the roads are in deplorable shape in the town of Fort Erie and they need to be dealt with. The issue that I try to focus on is it affordable? Should we add that onto the levy again? Because if we do that, we institutionalize that amount of money. So next year, that's another $200,000, and the year after, another $200,000, and the year after, without us doing anything. That becomes institutionalized. And maybe that's fine. But when I look at the graph, without institutionalizing this, by 2021, we will be where we need to be going forward. So does this $200,000 have to be additional amount that we put on the levy? Or can it be money that we utilize from the surpluses that we know we're going to get? And by the way, this graph doesn't speak to monies that have been put into reserves from previous surpluses. So when there was a surplus in 13, 14, 15, and monies were put into the capital reserves, most of them, I think, went into operating reserves, Mr. Jansen. I think that was your advice to me. But some of them would have gone into capital reserves. So that I don't think that we're in as bad a position as we think, number one. And number two, we don't really know what our position is vis-a-vis what our real needs are. We know that we've got significant needs. We just don't know how much, and we don't know how much we need to put in order to meet those needs ongoing. But from 2021, we're going to be in relatively good shape going forward, just by doing what we're doing right now. So I had suggested that as I said, the $200,000 not come from an increase in the levy, but come from the 2015 surplus, which we know is going to be about $1 million plus. So I'd like to move that just to at least get it on the floor, because otherwise I don't see how we make any impact on trying to reduce the number. That may not be a concern. I think there may be a belief that this budget is prudent and continue on, but I think I'd like to move that we pay for the $200,000 increase in road refurbishing reserves through the 2015 surplus. Before I give up my, can I just ask Mr. Jansen if there's any problem with that from his perspective?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Madam Chair. Only a couple points there. One would be that I wouldn't identify the surplus as the actual source for that type of change. I would identify an existing, in this case, the general levy rate stabilization reserve, which would then be replenished later when the audited statements would come forward with recommendations for those allocations. And then the other is perhaps just to again clarify, similar to what I said at the end of our last meeting, is in that the $200,000, this contribution is considered when we speak to it being strategic, the thought that goes with that as well is that it's long-term needs. It's servicing the long-term life cycle replacement issues we have. So just to make a distinction again between that $200,000 and the $403,000 you see in item 2.2 is that, and we have an amendment, to go with the item 2.2 to make that an amendment to the current 2016 capital budget, whereas item 1.2 is long-term in nature.
So the other thing that I was, as I was spending all this time thinking about this particular item, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this particular item, I wondered how many of us would have been thinking about this item at all if it hadn't been recommended by Mr. Jansen. So, Mr. Jansen, I want to thank you for occupying so much of my time during the past week. This falls under advice provided to us by our professional staff. And then you recall that I suggested we are the buffer between our professional staff and our residents. So wondering how many of us would have thought to increase this by $200,000 from the levy, barring Mr. Jansen's recommendation. Not that it matters. It's here and it's here. And so we do. Anyways, Madam Chair, that's my motion for an amendment.
So that amendment is on the floor. Does any councillor wish to speak to the amendment? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've struggled with this for a couple of weeks, and I actually agree with the mayor that I'd like to see it funded through another source, not in the general levy, and that I would support that. And I'm going to support his amendment, but I've been getting calls and speaking with citizens in Ward 6. There's an demographic in that area. So when I have to approach the budget from now on, I can't look at it through my eyes where I'm young, full stride in my career. I have a lot of years ahead of me in the workforce. I have to take into consideration people that are nearing the end of the workforce and what they're telling me, because they're the ones that are going to be faced with a fixed income. So trying to balance their needs with the town from an infrastructure perspective. And I hear a lot about water rates and people want that rate stabilized. And I agree that we need to put the money in infrastructure to get it going. And it actually gives me, I actually felt a sense of relief when Mr. Walsh said we have $12 million worth of projects on the shelf, because that gets the wheels turning on how we can get that out the door, because really people want to see rubber meeting the road. They don't mind biting the bullet right now if they know that long-term they're not going to have to continue to do it. And I think that we have a chance where we have a surplus, we can cut them a little break this year, it'll help the citizen where inflation's not too high. You know, the Canadian economy's taking a real beating globally right now, so there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think this is a way for us to help our citizens. One of the citizens said to me, well, if you're going to put a million or a million point, if you take into the OMEF funding, it's $1.203 million in reserves for capital infrastructure. Am I going to see $1 million worth of infrastructure done by October or November 2016? And I said, if the weather's nice, you will. But my concern is that person said to me, well, I only have a limited amount of time. I got a 2% raise, inflation's 1.8%, and the cost of food's going up because oil's down. So you putting money in the reserves is like you saving money and earning the interest off my money. Why can't I keep some of that and put it in my own bank account to earn the interest instead of you? But, you know, just thinking for their future. So those are things that I'm faced with and questions that I get from constituents in my ward. But I'm going to support the mayor's amendment because I think it will give a little bit of a break. But again, I think that the sooner we can drill down to what the real number is for our capital strategic infrastructure and get that asset management cat by the tail, I think the better off we're going to be when it comes to our budget deliberations. Thank you.
Councillor Butler? Oh, Councillor Butler, then Becerro. Sorry, I've seen Councillor Butler's hand up first.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I too have given this a lot of thought, back and forth, emails with everybody, and up all night pacing the floors wondering how we're going to cut this budget, because it is a tight budget. There's little wiggle room. We have a lot of obligations to fulfill. But I do agree with the mayor. I mean, if we need to cut, that's probably the area to cut. But I don't agree in cutting it. And the reason I don't is because when you start fooling around with the reserves and your savings, for lack of a better word, you run into problems for the future. And I think that we have to take into consideration that if there are matching donations or matching funds from, you know, provincial or federal governments, we have to have that money in play to be able to capitalize on that. And I don't think that it would be prudent for us to take that away. My question, though, is because I'm not fully understanding what you are meeting. So the 200,000, if we were to not pass approval on this, would we be then putting $100 or $100,000 towards it next year and then in 2018 to make up for that 200,000? Is that your thought process?
Sure, you can answer that.
I'm actually not suggesting that it be cut. I'm just suggesting that we utilize $200,000 for road refurbishing, but it be funded from last year's surplus. Because this is a $200,000 that was never contemplated in the policy in the first instance. This was the effort to recapture 2013 and 14 by Mr. Jansen, his recommendation. That's how we would recapture it. We could recapture one of those years if we make it $600,000 next year, and we could capture the other $100,000 if we make it $600,000 the next year. The only thing we've lost would have been the annual incremental movement of that $100,000 from this year. Otherwise, we institutionalize the $800,000 so that next year it's going to be $800,000 carried over immediately, and then the next year that $800,000 stays there, and that $800,000 continues on in perpetuity. Said by 2021. We're already where we need to be. We're going to be way beyond unless we start reducing what we put into reserves. My thinking is we're going to be in a better position to put money into reserves 2, 3, 4 years from now if what we believe is going to happen happens. So I'm not suggesting that we not utilize $200,000 towards road refurbishing. I'm simply saying that let's utilize it, not institutionalize it, but take it from the surplus. That's really the thrust of it.
Councillor Butler?
So I get that, but my understanding from the write-up here is that this $200,000 was from last year's decrease from $600,000 to $400,000, and then the prior one that we voted in favor of the $600,000, that $100,000 makeup was from the 2014 year. Is that not correct?
Mr. Jansen, did you want to add a comment?
Sure. The total of the two would bring the annual contribution to where we would have expected to be with a 2.5% increase of the levy. So there was, I think there was some confusion with the second sheet. It did refer to an older amount that was foregone, but really what it is it's making up for the full 2.5% of the levy. That's where the breakdown, we were following the $600,000, which was put forward from the budget guidance document and following that. So really, in terms of foregone amounts that were foregone from the 500 really are the total, in total this year would be $700,000, and the extra $100,000 is really from the overall target of maintaining 2.5% of the levy. So just to clarify there, if we're looking to attribute differences to past years, it's not that there is an extra $100,000 that doesn't relate to prior foregone amounts. And then just to note as well, if you look at the updated chart with the amendment on your screens, what the amendment would be in terms of the way I understand it is to make for this year the $200,000 amount a one-time amount funded by the General Levy Rate Stabilization Reserve, which would, of course, be which would be contributed to from any 2015 surplus. So then it would become a one item under section or part two, $200,000, which is offset by reserve funding. So that's where you see just the one-time adjustment. But in fact, because it's fully funded from existing reserves, there's no impact on the levy.
Councillor Butler, you still have the floor.
Thank you. Just one more question. And Mr. Jansen, do you see any problems with doing it this way for the anything that we would run against in the future?
Through Madam Chair, no, I don't see a problem with this. Certainly in terms of balancing affordability with what we would like to commit to in the longer term, this is one way of reducing that contribution. We would just, again, caution that, you know, in this case, in one way, when we're asking for $200,000, if we think about it over the span of 100 years, we're really looking for $20 million. That is $200,000 for each of the next 100 years. So this doesn't provide that long-term funding, but I do certainly appreciate the need to find ways to offset that in the current year due to the larger increase.
Thank you.
Councillor Becerra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't support the amendment just from a pure policy point of view, and I can't rationalize it in my own mind. And to pick up on Jonathan's last point, which I think is one of the more salient points, is yes, this is $200,000 this year, but this is $400,000 next year. It's that compounding effect. And I understand and appreciate that we want to see money go to projects now. But keep in mind that we're now starting to set money aside for projects that won't be completed till 2026. Some of the projects we're completing in 2016, staff started siphoning funds back in 2006. It's that long-term sustainable goal that we're after. And there's a lot of ifs. I'm not a fan of pushing it to next year. We've done that many years. We've already pushed it twice now, and we're still not there. And I think to hedge our bets based on possible assessment growth, based on a few ifs that may or may not happen, there's a lot of challenges on the other side of the spreadsheet if they happen. MPAC reassessments, which is a big hit into our assessment growth. There's a lot of obstacles coming up that we can't foresee at this present time. So to me, the $200,000 should be a base budget item. To Councillor Lubert's point from last week, it's the only way that you ever start gaining that ground. If we just do it one time this year, there is no guarantee that we will have that $200,000 to play with next year. The only budget that we can control is the one in front of us right now. We can't go based on the future and just keep pushing it to the next group. Yes, we are still the council next year, but whatever we push there goes into our last year. Whatever we push there is somebody else's problem. At some point, a council needs to step up and say, we are going to be the ones to start the ball rolling here. I understand that the costs that people are facing, I face them as well. I have a budget like anybody else. But at some point, you know, to use a line from the person that occupied this chair before I did, pay me now or pay me later. He used to say that all the time. Costs are only going up. So we may think that we're saving money from people now, but next year it may cost us a whole lot more. So I won't support the amendment. I understand the rationale. I support the rationale. But from a policy point of view and where we need to be going into the future, that's where I'm looking. So I would like to see the $200,000 stay as part of the base budget, because 200 becomes 400 becomes much more than that. And to Jonathan's last point, that's where staff are looking towards that future. And that's where we need to be looking as well. So I respect the amendment, but I won't be supporting it. Either way, I'm happy that we're getting another $200,000 into the roads refurbishing, but it's a matter of what are we doing beyond this year, and that's what I'm looking at. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Councillor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Looking at this and listening to some of the comments that have been made, from what I'm reading here, and just for the people that are listening, it says road refurbishing reserves strategic investment increase. So we're increasing it to $200,000. What is it now? How much are we putting in the base? What's the base budget now? We're going to increase it to $200,000.
Through you, Madam Chair, to Council Lubertz, you're asking what the current annual contribution to the roads reserve is?
Yeah.
Okay. Just give me one moment. From what is currently approved, so excluding any kind of supplementary items that have yet to be passed, excluding the 600,000, the portion that relates to roads, the amount otherwise right now for road refurbishing is 1.778 million per year. So if you add in $350,000 to that, the amount would be slightly over $2 million per year.
And now what we want to do is we just want to add $200,000 to that. And what you're saying then is we're going to add $200,000 to that, and it's going to be added each and every year. Is that correct?
From what we've discussed, I understand that the $200,000 is going to be funded this year from one-time source, so from the general levy rate stabilization, or is the intention for the funding this year to be from the reserves, but then for it to be adopted beyond that? Because that would affect whether or not it's base or one-time.
Madam Chair, just on a point of order, I think the answer to the question is the recommendation, if it's not amended, if the amendment doesn't carry, then it'll be $200,000 every year going forward.
Yes. And the problem that I have with that is this is the game plan. This is the plan that staff has put together. And this is the plan as part of our infrastructure gap. And I think what we all need to look at is before the previous council was elected, we didn't have an asset management plan at the town of Fort Erie. It was adopted by the previous council so that we would have something in place to move forward with. And I understand that, you know, there were some years where we didn't put into it, but when we did that, we all came to the realization this is going to be a hit to the taxpayer, and the taxpayer is going to have to burden the cost of the infrastructure gap, which is really, it is their infrastructure gap as well as the town of Fort Erie's. But at the same time, we have to look at, okay, we're going to start doing this. We have to look at other places where we're going to have to soften the blow to the taxpayer. As much as we all want to do what's right for the corporation and do what's right for the town of Fort Erie and improve the roads and spend the money on them, we have to constantly be thinking about what's the burden to the taxpayer. Because at the end of the day, that's where it's all coming from. So we start looking at other supplemental items, and we have to start looking at where are we spending money where we're not getting a return back from that money. I mean, I just read a report within the last couple of weeks, and Windsor did a review of their Economic Development Tourism Corporation. The recommendation that came back was to turn it into the town of Fort Erie into the city as a department. Hire 2.5 full-time employees at $400,000. We're spending $640,000 for an outside source. We could have 2.5 full-time employees at $400,000 to operate the EDTC. That would give us $240,000 to promote Fort Erie. If you look at the pie graph in the EDTC's presentation, there's a slice in the pie graph that basically tells us how much money they have to promote Fort Erie, and it's about $45,000 as opposed to $240,000. Those are the things that we need to start looking at. And I'm going to support the $200,000. I'm not going to support the $200,000 coming out of surpluses, because it needs to be put in there as the base budget. But we have to find other places to take away spending. We got to quit spending where it's not necessary and start spending money where it's going to benefit the community the most. Thank you.
Councillor Arnott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to Councillor Pizzero's points and some of the others. Last year in Canada, there was an 11.8% increase in property values. And maybe, Mr. Jansen, I believe last budget meeting you said the next assessment year is 2016, which the rates would then go into effect. The reason why I want to support this coming from reserves is we can institutionalize this next year when we have a bigger pot to do it with. The average median increase for the Niagara region alone was over 15% in value. And when you look at that and take that into consideration, everybody's property tax is growing up. So that's one more thing that we need to consider when we're looking at the budget this year, because that impact still has yet to come down the tube. We don't know what that's going to be. So that's why I'm fine supporting the amendment for this year, and we can bring it back as a institutionalized thing next year when there's a little bit larger pie. And if everything comes to fruition like it's supposed to, the big, all our big projects come together, I think we can have a totally different outlook on this. But I just think that we need to look at all the economic factors, even the external ones. So not only are we talking about the tax increase here, but we have to consider there's going to be an impact tax increase coming down just because that's the way the market's gone. And I don't want to be so short-sighted that you have the chance to do this right now from a surplus as a one-time thing, soften the blow a little bit here, and reconsider it for next year. So I'm still supporting the mayor's amendment on this.
Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I appreciate the thoughts from Councillor Nutt. But what we have to remember is if you say that, well, we can use the surpluses this year and then we can bring it back next year, right, as a supplemental or as a base budget item. And you think you're going to soften the blow. You're not softening the blow. Take a look at what we did over the past few years since 2013 when we started the asset management plan and we added into the base budget. We added into the base budget even last year $400,000 into the asset management plan. This year, Mr. Jansen comes forward and says, well, our base budget was 0.37% less than last year. So if you take it under the surplus this year, you're looking at $400,000 next year, whereas next year we're going to be starting at zero. You're not going to be looking at a supplementary coming forward. So now you can start looking at cutting away the waste in your supplementaries. I mean, there are some places where we are going to have to make those tough decisions and say, we can't do this anymore. The asset management plan is more important. And if we're going to commit to it, because I take a lot of criticism from the asset management plan as a previous councillor. And if this council is going to commit to it, then you have to commit to it. And I'm going to stand here tonight and say, I'm going to commit to it. But there's got to be cut somewhere else, and we're all going to have to make those tough decisions. So I'm not going to support the amendment.
Actually, before I go to Council Butler, Council McDermott, you haven't spoken yet. Did you want to say anything?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I thought about this a great deal too, and I think that, you know, we have to really start planning for our future, and whether that be in infrastructures or whether it has to do with roads. I think the biggest issue, you know, some of us councillors have had is our taxpayers are down on us quite a bit about the fact that we're not doing enough for the roads. You know, it's all about roads and sewers and water. And we're never, ever going to get to the bottom of our water problems if we don't get to our infrastructure problems. So I see no benefit
taking surplus funds or it just doesn't make sense to me that we do this. I think that this is probably our best chance at getting new infrastructure programs over the next 3 or 4 years, now that we have a government that's committed. So it's just a matter of being ready. It seems that we are. And I know it's going to cost a little more money for taxpayers, but at the end of the day, it's not something that an average income can't handle. I know that I don't make a whole lot of money, and I'm not too much distressed about an under 3% tax increase. So I think that I will not support this amendment either. I do understand the mayor's concern. I think that we really have to dedicate ourselves to our infrastructure programs.
Councilor Becerra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple last points. We're in the position we're in now that we can even have this discussion regarding flexibility because the regional level of government came in at zero. That may or may not happen next year, and I lean towards may not. We might not have the room to do this under the current tax base we have now. You don't know what's coming. Assessment growth, I agree, most likely goes up. But with the other growth that we're forecasting in these bigger projects also come more infrastructure needs. The roads go in, sewers go in, we build more parks, we build more facilities, our fleet enlarges. This is the time we now need to start preparing for that growth because there will be more demands on the infrastructure. Yes, we can bring this back next year. We can have this debate again. Are we prepared to look at $400,000 next year as the figure to catch up on not doing this as part of the base budget this year? I don't think we will be prepared to do that. We almost wavered on the $600,000 we just discussed. I'm adamant. I won't support the amendments. I think that we need to do this. We need to do it now. We need to get that ball rolling. I would rather take some criticism tomorrow from somebody debating a 2.6 versus a 2.0 tax increase overall versus why is my road not being gotten to until 2023? Because that is what we're hearing. And these are the times where we need to make those decisions. Are we going to see immediate impacts now on people's roads tomorrow? No, but like I said, there's roads we're doing now. We started having these conversations way back when. We no longer have the luxury of additional sources of revenue. We don't even know if that OMPF funding will remain at $403,100. So we're forecasting ahead to say, well, we don't need to do this because we've already got another $403,000 coming in. That might not be there next year. I can't reiterate enough. The only budget we can control is the one in front of us right now. And you can't look at it from the perspective that this will be the same Excel spreadsheet in front of us in 12 months. There'll be different items on here, different competing priorities. It won't just be a matter of, do we take that assessment growth dollars and spend it on roads? That's not a guarantee. We don't know what the challenges and opportunities will be that are coming down the pipe. I'd like to see it remain in the base budget, and those are the rest of my comments. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mayor Redeko?
I just wanted to address a couple of things. Number one, and I agree that if there's growth, that means that there's additional burden in terms of maintaining infrastructure, but we are going to be getting development charges and all the development that takes place, there are development charges, and we've got healthy reserves and development charges. But the real point that I wanted to make was this. When we deliberated last year on our budget, took into account the things that we thought we should be spending money on, advised by our staff. And an allocation for roads and all the other reserves. Because there are surpluses, we're actually going to be supplementing those reserve funds. So there was money made up in other areas of the budget, whether it was there wasn't a full complement of staff, there was additional money left over in salaries and wages. We're going to be allocating that money, and some of that money may very well end up in some of these reserves. that's the taxpayers' money as well. So it's not as if the taxpayers are slipping away if we fund this out of a surplus, because that's still tax dollars that simply happened to be paid last year. And in terms, it's a matter of whether we institutionalize it. And it does keep going forward and forward and forward and forward. But I think we've had a healthy debate, and I'm finished on this particular point, and I'm eagerly awaiting to see what happens with the vote.
Are you asking for me to call the question? Are there any other comments first? No. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm still torn on which way to vote on this. I just want to ask for clarification from Jonathan. Then Councillor Nutt made an interesting point. He said that if we take the $200,000 from the surplus, next year we can bring it back as a base item. Is that doable then?
Yeah, that's correct. We could do that at that point.
And without any harm going forward either then. Is that right?
Yeah, if this year's contribution is being made from some source, in this case reserves, if it were to become set as part of the base next year, then we wouldn't be behind.
Anything further? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Opposed? That's defeated. That's a defeated motion. Back to the original motion. Are there any questions or comments with the original motion? Councillor McDermott? No. I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Oh, sorry. All those opposed? That carries. That brings us to part 1.3, that the 2016 Supplementary Base Budget Funding for Downtown Core Area Community Improvement Plan, CIP Grant Program, in the amount of $30,000 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott, are there any questions or comments? Councillor Lubertz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm going to make an amendment that we remove this item simply not because I don't support community improvement plan projects. Only the reason I would like to see it removed is there are people in other areas of this town that can't even apply for this because they don't have a community improvement plan. And so unless we have a level playing field, I don't think that we should be increasing the amount of money that's available to the rest, to a select few of people. I don't know how many improvement plan areas we have throughout the whole town, but unless everybody's included, then we shouldn't be increasing so some can have and some can't have. So I'm making the amendment that we remove this $30,000 increase.
So that amendment is on the floor. Would anybody like to speak to the amendment? Councillor Pissarro?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't be supporting the amendment with due respect to my colleague. I've seen the positive impact that this program has. It is underfunded based on the number of applications that would be coming forward. And I am a counselor for one of the areas that currently does not have a CIP program. I know where I am on the list, may or may not get there. But I would not take this away from the areas that currently do have it on the list. They are doing great things. And I think any time that we can spend a dollar and leverage it, not only with another level of government, but with the private sector, I think that's an opportunity we should take advantage of. I know that I may not have a CIP program for my Riverwalk area, but one of the items I am supporting tonight is the Circle Route extension, which will have benefit to the business district. We're spending a couple million dollars in Bay Beach you know, kind of a community improvement plan for that area of town. So it's not just through the CIP program specifically that we're able to affect benefit throughout the community. So I'll be supporting this for the benefits of the neighborhoods that do currently have those CIP programs, and I will patiently wait my turn to tap into this fund when it exists. And as it's part of the base budget, I know that that will be there to do so when it does happen. Thank you.
Councillor McDermott?
Yes. I won't be supporting the amendment either. I think it's pretty clear that once the secondary plans are made and the CIP programs are available, that they do create quite a spark in the economy of the downtowns, which we, of course, really need to do. Not only that, but it increases the residents downtown because in most cases, there are apartments up top below is commercial. So how does that benefit us? Well, the values go up, the tax dollars are coming back to us. So it's a win-win. In fact, as I mentioned the last time we met, I'm going to move to increase this fund to $30,000 because of the fact we have known businesses looking forward to CIPs this year, and I think we have to take it when the going's good and the region's still involved in the program. I think it would be a foolhardy for us while we're making headway in the downtowns. You look at Bridgeway, you look at Jarvis Street, who didn't have the benefit of provincial funding for streetscaping. We're doing it all on our own private investment, along with the help of the CIP program stimulating the economy down there. And revitalization is coming forward quite a bit. So, you know, this is not one of the areas that I think it would be foolhardy for us to not support this program.
Yeah, just point of order for clarification purposes, Councillor McDermott, you're not proposing an amendment to increase this 30%, right? Because we have to deal with Councillor Lubert's? Okay. When you said increase, I just got a little confused there. I just want to make sure we're only dealing with Councillor Lubert's amendment.
Councillor McDermott, you still have the floor. Anything further?
No, that's it for now.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will not be supporting this amendment either for the same reasons that Councillor Passero and Councillor McDermott have mentioned. The Ridgeway area has been flourishing. The downtown core on Jarvis Street has been flourishing, and for that specific purpose, I think it's a good investment in our town. Thank you.
Are there any additional comments or questions regarding the amendment? Okay, I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Opposed? That amendment's defeated. Back to the original motion. Are there any comments or questions with regard to the original motion? Councillor McDermott?
Yes, I would like to move that we expand our horizons here from the $30,000 to increase it to $60,000 so that we are able to meet all the goals of the people that are coming forward. Of course, we might end up short at the end of the day, but this is a program that is fully utilized, and I support it 100%.
Okay, so that amendment is now on the floor. Mr. Jensen, did you want to input that into the spreadsheet? No, okay, perfect. Are there any comments or questions with regard to the amendment, Your Worship?
Madam Chair, I'm going to support this, and Councillor Passero, Councillor McDermott expressed the benefits of the program. Certainly, we're allowed to leverage our money with respect to this, improve, revitalize commercial areas, and expand our assessment. We're not going to have enough money. I hope that as we move forward with secondary plans, we'll be able to get additional community improvement programs going. So I'm going to support it. The difficulty that I have is that instead of taking money out of this budget that's been presented, we're now adding additional costs. So I guess my question would be, does Councillor McDermott see any place in this budget where $30,000 could come out?
No, Your Worship, I don't. but I do see maybe some opportunities down the line as we go further.
But that was my question. So as we're going through the budget this evening.
Yes. I do see areas.
I mean, I'm going to support this regardless. It's just that I would hope that we can at least make some impact on this. I'm in the for column.
Are there any other comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we find out from staff where we envision this program should the region decide not to fund their portion?
Yes,
I can attempt to answer the councillor's question. First of all, I'd like to say we've received no information from the region suggesting that they would not be funding it for this year, for 2016. So I feel confident that in 2016 will be funded. 2017 and 2018, I'm not too sure. In terms of what we have had as an uptake so far is 2016 was a very busy year when the CIP programs, as both, as I think everyone's aware, and almost $200,000 has been put out in terms of that funding. We anticipate that with the additional funding that has been on the table, we should be able to make it through most of 2016 and in terms of allocations. And we will continue to make sure that the council is aware of that as we go along. And that's all I really have.
Anything further, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'll be supporting this as well, just given the ifs of 2017 and 2018. I think maybe now we should be preparing just in case, because I'd hate to see this program go by the wayside should the region decide not to continue their funding. I think we need to be in a position to be at some point self-sufficient now that we are finally in the steps of rolling out this program across all the different neighborhoods. So I'll be supporting Councillor McDermott's request.
Are there any additional comments or questions on the amendment? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? That amendment carries. Now back to the motion as amended. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Nutt?
Just a question for Mr. Jansen. What one-time budget items are falling off next year? So what one-time funding do we have? Can you give us a total amount? Because I want to kind of help out my councillor, fellow councillor here, McDermott. Can you tell us what's going to fall off next year and won't reappear in the supplemental items?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Nutt. Yeah, if you total the all one-time items from the supplementary budget this year, so if they were to all be approved in Part 2 and Part 4, the sum of that $430,000 plus the $212,000 would be a total of $642,000 as it stands right now.
Are there any additional questions or comments? Councillor Lubert?
Yeah, just for some clarification, you're going to be asking the question now, and it will read that the increase will be for 60,000, not an additional 60, right? Not 90, it'll be 60,000.
Yes,
the people that are listening.
The motion will read 2016 supplementary base budget funding for downtown core area community improvement plan. CIP grant program is in the amount of $60,000 be approved. Are there any further questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
We should have changed seats. Just one comment. Mr. Jansen and I were just having a side chat. Although it's not supplemental, one other item that will fall off the table is the $250,000 for the racetrack funding. So when we get our factors and drivers report for next year, So that will come up as a factor in our driver's report, one of the first reports we'll see going into the budget, and it will just show that as a factor decrease to the base budget, so another $250,000. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That is carried. Madam Clerk, are you clear on that? Okay. That brings us to part 1.4, that 2016 supplementary base budget funding for emerald ash borer tree removal increased in the amount of $200,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Nutt? That's on the floor. Is there any questions? Councillor Becerra?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is one of the areas that I thought maybe we look at $50,000 decrease, but I wanted to ask a couple questions first to through you to Mr. Walsh, if I could. Do we anticipate being able to contract out this entire amount for 2016? That seems to be a sizable sum. Are we guaranteed that we can complete all the work if we were to approve this entire amount this year, Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Madam Chair, that is the intent. I can't guarantee it, but that's the intent.
I'll wait to hear comments from other councillors. Councillor Nutt?
I'd ask my fellow councillors on this particular item. I know it's a 10-year program. I know we're putting in $200,000 a year, but would we consider moving this to be funded from reserves for just this year? And when the track falls off next year, we can slide it back into the budget and minimize an impact this year. And there would be, I'm assuming, a little bit less. We got 892 falling off in one-time budget items, and I think that this is a 10-year program. I do want to support the tree removal, and I think it's important. I see a lot of dead trees. I know communities in bloom. It's important to them to get them removed, and I think that if we're okay doing so, I'll amend that this be removed from the general levy budget and funded from the surpluses from 2015.
Okay, are you putting that amendment on the floor now?
Yes, I'm going to put the amendment on the floor now. Okay. Thank you.
That amendment is on the floor. Councillor McDermott?
Actually, point of order, just for clarification, what I'd like to ask is, I'll defer to Jonathan's expertise to suggest where the funding alternately could come from.
Okay, so before that amendment's on the floor, Mr. Jansen, could you confirm and make comment?
Sure. Similar to the earlier amendment that had been on the floor, I would simply keep the expense item in there and then show it as being funded from the general levy rate stabilization, as that is where we would then direct those funds so they could go in and out for that item.
Are you moving the amendment now? Councillor McDermott?
Yes, I'll support this amendment. I think that's a good idea. We've identified where it was going to tail off and where we're going to catch up with it. I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
Councillor Liberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'll be supporting the amendment. Just to clarify with Mr. Jansen, the $200,000, it was an increase, so we already have some money set aside for the emerald ash borer problem, and we want to add another $200,000. So we'll take that out of the surplus that's coming forward, obviously. So next year, they would be just asking for another $200,000, and we can use that out of reserves. This isn't something that we want to compound over years so that we have money in reserves. This is something that we're going to deal with a problem. When the problem's over, the funding's going to be, or we're not going to be asking for the money anymore. So as long as the money is there every year to deal with the problem, that's basically what we need to do as council.
That's right. Mr. Jansen?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions regarding the amendment? Councillor Becerra?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's an excellent idea. I'll support Councillor Nutt's amendment, and I agree with Councillor Lubert's comments. Because there is an end goal in sight, we know the dollars we need, we know what the target is. I have no issue supporting this from the supplementary, and who knows, if we get some good pricing in the years ahead and some good things happen, maybe we can accomplish it sooner. So I have no issue with doing this as from the rate stabilization reserve. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much. One question for Mr. Jansen. Where does that take us to our end line here, if this were to be approved? From the 7.2, now we're down to 6.67. Is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Now to the motion as amended. Are there any questions or comments? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to item 1.5, that 2016 supplementary base budget funding for tree planting increase in the amount of $40,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Luberts? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Luberts?
Yes, just a simple question to Mr. Jansen throughout this whole thing. Earlier this evening, the mayor mentioned that he had some conversation with you and that we're looking that we may have a surplus of $2 million. How much? A little over $1 million, a surplus. So I'm looking at trying to get this whole thing down to like 3.5-4% increase. Can we do this again out of that million? Why don't we just start using the surplus that we're anticipating for some of these?
Mr. Jansen?
Sure. You're right. We are projecting a surplus of just over $1 million. We also do have amounts in our general levy rate stabilization fund that we can use, which can be replenished then by the surplus that we're projecting. So that does remain an option for funding items.
Now, if we were to do that, how does that affect next year's capital? Because I know our capital budget is based on reserves, right? So we put our surpluses into the reserves, and then we use those reserves to pay for our capital. So what's the risk involved in this?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Lubert. Really, in this case, we're talking about an operating item. So the risk really is just the availability of our operating reserves, in this case, the general levy rate stabilization reserve, and there are sufficient balances. There's existing balances of approximately, I believe it's about $1.6 million. And of course, as mentioned earlier, some of the 15 projected surplus will have other allocations, such as a building permit surplus, as well as items as well as monies to fund further the contingent theater amount. But beyond that, there are amounts available.
Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And if I can continue, I'd like to go to this rate stabilization reserve for this, but at the same time, I have to remember that previously, when we had discussions about the rate stabilization fund, we wanted to maintain a reserve of about $2 million. So I don't want to run the risk of getting too low in our reserves by using some of these here items and be paying through the rate stabilization reserve, because we need to maintain a certain level.
So where's our flexibility with the rate stabilization fund? We need $2 million and we're flexible to 1.5 to 2 million or 1 million to 2 million?
The reserve policy targeted 5 to 10% of an annual operating budget or approximately $2 million. So we're below that amount right now. However, in the case of surpluses, what we typically do is look at all balances. So beyond the general levy rate stabilization, there are other targeted amounts for operating reserves that are below their thresholds, areas such as emergency management, where we target 1 year's winter control budget, areas like that. Most recently, in the last couple of years, we've used the insurance reserve to mitigate some of the supplemental assessments we've received on insurance. So they are reserves that we do use from time to time to mitigate issues. That we would be bringing forward some of those allocations, which may, as alluded to earlier, include allocations of the surplus to capital, where recommended.
Councilor Liberts, anything further?
Yes, thank you very much. So you would be comfortable with using the rate stabilization fund for this year item, or would you caution that maybe we better be careful on how we're spending that? I'm just looking for some advice from you. Caution me, or are you comfortable?
Based on our current levels, in particular this example with the Emerald Ash Borer tree removal, it's something where we consider it to be addressed within the next several years. So due to the fact that it's not something that's going to be ongoing beyond that, certainly it would lend itself to using those funds. The purpose of the reserve is intended to be more of an urgent nature or one-time issues, so we would put some caution forward there just to make sure it's being used most effectively when we really need it.
Councilor Liberts.
Thank you very much. And I guess in my case, if I want to get to 3.5%, it's important. So I guess I'll make the amendment that we use the we do the same thing with the tree planting and use the $40,000 out of the projected surpluses.
Okay, that amendment's now on the floor.
Rate stabilization fund. Is that correct?
Your worship?
I have a question maybe more to the whole issue, but with the funding from CN, with the amount that's in the operating budget, an additional 40 brings us up to 76,000. And I'm wondering where we are in terms of the tree replanting now, because I hear that people are trying to get their trees planted. Some of them are people who have built new homes and they pay for planted. Where are we? If we might get
Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment on that?
In generalities, I can, Madam Chair. I think we're a little behind on tree planting. With respect to new homes, those are responsibilities of the developers, but our forestry crew, our arborist, has been so concerned with getting rid of ash trees right now. They're dying at an alarming rate, as we all know. He's been concentrating on protecting the safety rather than replenishing. But we do have a program in effect here, and again, we're confident that we can meet these financial requirements.
Is this something that we would or could contract out?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is certainly something we will contract out.
Okay, and then finally, to the director through you, concerns on your part with respect to paying this out of the general rate stabilization fund and then replenishing it when the surpluses are dealt with?
Not more than what I would have mentioned earlier. We do have a set criteria for this reserve, and with the nature of this being considered to be not long-term but in the shorter term, I think it would be acceptable.
Are there any other questions with the amendment, Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any questions. I do have a comment. I won't be supporting this amendment. I think it's a bad idea to dip back into the reserves. You know, I've been saying all along that we need to plan and save for those expected future events that can help us mitigate, you know, the financial impact of any unforeseen situations that may arise. So whether they're major or non-occurring expenditures, I think it's wrong to do this. So that's my comment for the evening on this topic anyway.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding the amendment? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question to staff. The $40,000 we're looking at now, in your opinion, is that directly tied to solely the replacement of ash trees that we are removing, or is that helping us to catch up on the backlog that the mayor had spoke to?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Madam Chair, we do have a backlog of trees prior to the EAB issue, so some of the money would be directed that. I can't give you a breakdown as to which, how much would go towards the backlog and how much moves into replacement of the ash trees.
Okay. I was hoping you could, because that was the percentage I was going to use to to split the 40. I was thinking maybe half and half to try and satisfy a couple of different interests here, because if we're just looking to catch up on a backlog, I could see that from rate stabilization. But to Councillor Butler's points, I think for the long-term strategy along with the Emerald Ash Borer, I would like to see that stay as part of the base budget.
Are there any additional questions or comments? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Sorry, I need you to do that again. All those in favor? All those opposed? I'm opposed as well, so that amendment is defeated. Back to the original motion. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to propose an amendment that we split it 20 and 20. Mr. Walsh is giving me hand signals.
Mr. Walsh?
Madam Chair, I'm just getting some outside information here. Half and half would be great.
So I'll yield the floor to the mayor.
Are you putting that amendment on the floor now?
I'm going to yield the floor to the mayor.
Well, only in terms of the ratios, because this seems to be, the suggestion seems to be tying this to the opportunity to partner with CN Rail. That's a $25,000 amount. There's $11,000 that's already there. So it looks like there's $14,000 that's needed to take full advantage of CN Rail's grant. So I don't know whether the split should be 14-26, or I only bring that to your attention. I'm quite happy with whatever you're prepared to.
I'll put the amendment forward for 2020, and for next year's budget, maybe we can have a better figure as to where we stand. But so I would put $20,000 from rate stabilization and $20,000 to remain as part of the base budget.
Are there any questions with regard to that amendment? All those in favor? Opposed? That amendment carries. Back to the motion as amended. And just to repeat that motion will read the 2016 supplementary base budget funding for tree planting increase in the amount of $40,000. However, $20,000 will come from the base budget and $20,000 will come from the rate stabilization. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That motion carries. That brings us to part 1.6, that the 2016 supplementary base budget funding for volunteer firefighter training rate increase in the amount of $50,000 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott? Are there any questions or comments? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries.
That brings us to 1.7, that the supplementary, the 2016 supplementary base budget funding for Canada Day fireworks contribution in the amount of $10,000 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor Passero? Are there any questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an item I don't think needs to form part of the base budget either. I recognize that it's the smallest dollar amount we're dealing with, but a few small items add up to big items when you're talking months and years. This could definitely be a rate stabilization supplementary item. I am hopeful that we will receive the grants that we have applied for through the Kinsmen. This is really a placeholder. Should we need it this year, I would still need to go out and leverage an additional $10,000 from the private sector. I'm confident I can do that once again, but I do need this $10,000 so we can at least get some things booked and up and running. And should we not be successful with the grant, it puts us into a different discussion for next year, but we can have that discussion for next year. If we are successful, much easier just to leave this in the rate stabilization reserve fund versus waiting 12 months and having it drop off the levy. So I would like to make that amendment to move it to rate stabilization.
Okay, that amendment's on the floor. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I guess just a comment on the last year, this came up suddenly. All of a sudden, it was there, and we were scrambling. I don't know that it has anything to do with tonight's budget meeting, but because we're discussing it, we need to make sure that if we're going to remove this, which I'm going to support because I believe that it should be out of some other funds, but we need to make sure that we're not caught off guard like we were last year and scrambling for to have the fireworks in place.
Councillor Passero?
Thank you for coming back to me just so I can respond to Councillor Lubert's question. You're absolutely right. There's a big difference this year between discussing this in February versus the end of June, beginning of July, with a week left to go. We definitely will not be coming back for any additional funds. You can do a fireworks show for $10,000. It's kind of that bare minimum, because you do need to mobilize the troops and have certain things in place. Anything that we can raise above and beyond that just increases the quality of the show, but we would kind of top out around $20,000. You don't want to have one heck of a show one year and not have funding in place, because people will definitely criticize you next year. But I do think it's important we do this, especially as we track into the 150th anniversary celebrations of what's happening in Ridgeway and led to what we call now, first steps to nationhood. So I think it's important that we at least contribute this year. Like I said, if we're not successful with the grants, we'll use the $10,000. I'll go out and get another $10,000. We'll have a different conversation come forward for next year.
Mr. Jansen?
Yeah, just want to reiterate something that I did mention earlier. Anytime we're moving an item that's submitted as base, such as this, to having one-time funding, that being reserve funding, I would just want to note that becomes a one-time item. So in the case of the fireworks here, by making it funded from reserve funding, because we're not identifying an ongoing source, it becomes, in effect, a one-time item, which would then, again, have to be submitted again in the future.
Your Worship?
I think we need to remember that the next year, 2017, is the 150th anniversary of Confederation and the 160th anniversary of the creation of the town of Fort Erie. So, Councillor Passero, I think there's going to be fireworks there. I don't know whether it'll be a different fireworks or community, but there's certainly going to be fireworks. So I suspect that we'll be looking at something of this nature next year for next year's budget, plus something, I would presume, for some centennial, sesquicentennial celebrations for the country.
Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the Mayor's point, we're hopeful if we're successful in this grant, as I had mentioned a couple weeks back, it is the type of grant that you can't count on annually, but you're in the list. And what we would do is going forward is we would just amend the amount that we're asking for, subject to the different provisions and the history and what we're celebrating that present time. So if we're successful with the grant, I wouldn't necessarily need to come back to council for additional dollars. We would do a subsequent increase to the allocation that we're requesting of the grant funder, because it is the Celebrate Canada Fund is what we're tapping into.
Are there any other questions or comments regarding the amendment? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Now back to the original motion as amended, which will read that the 2016 supplementary funding for Canada Day fireworks contribution in the amount of $10,000 be approved and moved from the rate stabilization fund. All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. That brings us to part 2.1, that the 2016 supplementary one-time funding for Habitat for Humanity grant in the amount of $26,962 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Nutt? Are there any questions or comments, Councillor Nutt?
Just as a refresher, I would ask that Mr. Cook it chime in on this one. If we grant this and something happens with the build, are we exposed to any kind of liability as a town?
Mr. Cook it?
To you, Chair, to the councillor. This is made up of a bunch of funds that we're granting, and if I can just maybe read it off to you, what makes up the $29,000 is $19,961.60, and that is for plumbing permits, the installation of laterals, construction water use, culverts, and water meters. There is $7,000 that make up that $29,168, which is security deposits to ensure that certain works get done. If those works, if we waive that $7,000 and they do not complete those works, we have no leverage to get them to do it other than their word. So you should look at this in two different sections, waiving of certain fees, and then you have the security deposits. So hopefully that answers your question.
That does. So, Jonathan, if we take the security deposit out there, what would the new amount be? Is it 7,000 exact?
The revised amount would be $19,962.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions, Councillor McDermott?
Yes, just to, if I could, through you to Mr. Brady, there were three previous bills by Habitat over the last number of years. Can you tell me if the deposit was put down at that time?
Mr. Brady?
Through to the councillor. From the information that I have, when those first three bills were completed, Habitat for Humanity paid for the cost that they're asking for a grant. In this case, they paid for their plumbing permit, they paid for their laterals, culverts, water meters, and they did pay the deposits. So the council has already granted $29,168 both DC exemptions and fees, and that is roughly equivalent plus inflation to what was granted the last time.
Councilor McDermott?
Thank you, Mr. Brady. I would like to amend this to include that we take out $7,000 to protect the municipality with regards to this bill. I don't think it's a bad thing to ask that they put a deposit down, because at the end of the day, if the job is all done and done right, they will get the deposit back.
Okay, that amendment is on the floor now. Are there any questions or comments with regard to the amendment? Councillor Lubert?
So I just need to get the numbers right, because I'm hearing from the CAO 29,100 and something, and I'm seeing here 26,962, and now there's a 7,000. Where are we at? What's the real number that we're looking at?
So my understanding is the amendment amount is now $19,962, which removes the $7,000 deposit that the town will collect.
Yes, but I heard from the CAO at 29,100. What was that number for?
Mr. Cookett?
Through your chair, I apologize. That was an incorrect number, Councilor Luberts. It should have been the 26.
Okay,
the,
right.
The 29 was what was already waived or granted. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? That carries. Now back to the original motion as amended, that the 2016 supplementary one-time funding for Habitat for Humanity grant in the amount of $19,962 be approved. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Wait, do you have a question? Sorry. Mayor Redicott?
Madam Chair, this is where I have a crisis of conscience with respect to this, in the sense that I very much support the work of Habitat for Humanity. We have, I know it's a twin bill that they're proposing, and we've already allocated $29,000. The additional $19,000, it does facilitate the construction of a home. Someone will be, family will be able to move into this home. I much prefer the community improvement program that we have in terms of the number of commercial buildings that can be affected by the amount of money. So $19,000 would roughly equate to 4 commercial properties, or if we were ever to contemplate some type of program to encourage new homeowners or some permutation at $2,500, this covers 8 as an example. So I'm feeling a bit like a Grinch, because as I said, I do support very much the work that Habitat for Humanity does. And I'm wondering how much of the fees and charges the municipality should be expected to waive with respect to this particular. It's now only $19,000, and I guess people would say, well, it's only $19,000. I see Councillor Butler's shaking her head. Yes, it's only $19,000. I have difficulty supporting this, and probably not support it, because I would like to see that kind of money utilized in a program that I think we need to develop here. I think we need to develop something that will encourage on a broader basis growth. And that's not to say that I wouldn't personally donate to this project, and that I wouldn't personally be involved with Habitat for Humanity. Just that I don't think I can support a further.
Are there any additional comments or questions? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Mayor Redicott, actually.
Councillor Nutt?
Thank you. I think we've granted the DCs, and I think that's fair to the municipality. I'm going to support this, and just some food for thought is that the town portion on the average median tax bill would be about $1,100. The $19,962 is actually going for 2 homes that we'll bring onto the tax roll. So if you consider, we'll earn back the funds through the tax roll in roughly 17 years. So and going beyond, we'll garner it back in taxes. I don't know. Yes, it's correct. Maybe less if the tax rate keeps going up. But
well, that's
some of us are long in the tooth and some of us aren't, but you're correct, Mayor Redekop. I just, you know, I struggle with this because I think granting the DC charges was a big help to them. I feel like we have to protect the municipality. That's why I want to see the $7,000 deposit. Yeah, it's a tough issue, but the food for thought that we'll get it back. That's all the comments I have on it.
Councilor Becerra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be supporting this going forward. I think it was a relatively easier decision to support the DC charges because there's no actual dollar figure attached. It's staff time, it's processing time. I know Mr. Brady is giving me a scowl because there is a lot of work behind it. But when push comes to shove, there's actual dollars being levied. It is a different conversation. In spite of that, I'm going to support this. I attended the Business After Five that was held in the foyer, co-hosted by Habitat and the town of Fort Erie. And I've been to a lot of BA5s. I've been involved in a lot of fundraising. There was an excitement in the room of businesses and individuals that wanted to see this project succeed on a community-wide basis. And I think that the town of Fort Erie should be a part of that and should have some skin in the game to say, you know what, we've done it, and you should too, because we believe in it. Not to say that anybody who doesn't support this doesn't, but I just think that we need to put some actual cash in hand, and that's what this does. So I will support this. If it doesn't pass, then the group will just have to work much harder. I know it will get done one way or another, but I do think it's a great project given the experience I had with them when I was in Councillor McDermott's position for the three homes on Phipps and Dodds Way. So I will support this going through and wish them the best of luck.
Any additional comments or questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. Madam Clerk, if I could just get some clarification from you, and I know you've given me instructions on this earlier, but so much has come already, so I just wanted to clarify. There's a change to Part 2.2. Did you want a motion to accept that change?
If you would read out the motion, or perhaps the Treasurer would like to explain the concept behind it, just for clarity.
Okay. Mr. Jansen?
Yes, the amendment is simply to amend the 2016 capital budget. This is the one item we explained that would have a direct impact on works in 16. So by, should it be approved, we would then also be looking to amend our capital budget to include it for this year's capital works.
Okay, so can I get a mover that 2016 supplementary one-time funding for the roads refurbishing reserves allocation of OMPF funding in the amount of $403,100 be approved, and further that project RSRF-16 be increased accordingly in the general capital budget. Councillor Nutt, are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? That carries. That brings us to item 3.1, that the 2016 supplementary base budget new funding for the roads crew's wages and benefits in the amount of $62,000 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor Passero? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Nutt and then Lubert.
My question, really, what we're talking about here in 3.2, really my question is with that, with the mild winter, this $25,698 is to, I know last year we had a harsh winter, this year we're not experiencing the same severity of weather, so.
Councilor Nutt, sorry, we're on actually 3.1.
Sorry, I skipped ahead.
Did you have a question with item 3.1?
No.
I can read that again for you if you like. No,
no, my question was.
Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much. I don't have a question specifically, but just for the audience, the people that are listening to the, can we just get a brief overview as to the rationale behind this from Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Walsh, can you comment and give us a brief overview? Again, we're on the supplementary base budget, new funding for roads, crews, wages, and benefits.
Through you, Madam Chair. We have five casual employees in the roads department, and in order to maintain the employees as casual, not part-time, not full-time, they have to be laid off for a period of time. I think it's two times a year. It may be three, but essentially we're losing for each time they get laid off, we're losing an employee for a month. And through some issues that have popped up with respect to human resources, they are essentially deemed full-time employees. So if we have to deem them full-time employees, the rationale and discussion with the CAO and our manager of human resources, Mr. Mather, was to make them full-time employees. The cost is minimal here, I guess. And for that cost, we now get four excellent employees out of this.
Councilor Liberts, you still have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. I'll be supporting this here, and I think I just want to make the comment on it only makes sense to support this addition because we approved earlier the 1.1 and 1.2. for the asset management plan. And if we're going to be increasing our reserve amounts for infrastructure and our asset management, we're going to need more employees or more time for employees to do the work. So that's my rationale for supporting the recommendation. Thank you.
Councilor Nutt?
Yes, based on what you said, Mr. Walsh, a couple questions just popped into my head. And with the additional funding going into roads and roads work, will adding these additional employees allow us to, in full confidence, be able to accelerate some of the projects?
Through you, Madam Chair, this isn't project specific. This goes more to our maintenance side, our ditching programs, our patching programs. So right now, through this, we essentially run a full complement 3 days a week because we work a compressed work week. Some of our workers get Mondays off, some get Fridays off. This will allow us to put out two full crews all through the week and catch up. We have a number of outstanding issues with respect specifically to ditching and road maintenance. This will allow us to catch up and eventually get the list down to a minimum amount.
Okay, so this really goes to our strategic plan as in delivering better customer service to our customers, which is the general population of the town. Are you anticipating any retirement out of your crews in the next couple years?
Again, through you, Madam Chair, we have a great number, probably 40% of our work force can retire in the next 5 years. So we do have a recruitment issue approaching fast.
Councilor Nutt?
Okay, just the last comment I have then is I'm going to support this because it seems to me that you're making some forward thoughts towards succession planning, but also it feels like this is going to be a better delivery of services to the end user.
Are there any additional comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to part 3.2, that the 2016 supplementary base budget new funding for the parks and winter casual wages and benefits in the amount of $25,698 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott and Councillor Nutt, I know you had a question. Okay. Are there any additional questions? All those in favor? That carries. 4.1, that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for physician recruitment operating reserve in the amount of $35,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott? Any questions or comments? All those in favor? That motion carries. 4.2, that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for the fire department operational review in the amount of $15,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Mayor Redicott? Are there any questions or comments? Mayor Redicott?
What if I could ask through you, the director, whether this ordinarily would be something that would be funded out of operating or whether it's something that should be funded out of a reserve fund?
Mr. Jensen?
Through Madam Chair, Mayor, this is something we, in keeping with the past, would do in this fashion through the supplementary due to its more unique nature.
More what?
Unique or one time.
And well, I understand that, and I understand that it's one time. I'm wondering why we would be putting... Okay. Ordinarily, it comes out of the general levy.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll Councillor Liberts.
Yes. I guess my question is the same as the mayor. Why would we have this as a supplementary item again when if it's just one time? Why are we not taking out of reserves? And we can take it out of the reserves. I'd like to make the amendment that we remove this and take it out of the reserves because we're going to do it once and that's going to be it. If we approve it tonight. From what I understand, if we've approved whatever we approve as supplementary this year is going to be part of our budget next year. And obviously this won't be part of it, so I would make the motion that we remove this and allocate it, I guess, to rate stabilization.
Before you put that amendment on the floor, did you want to get Mr. Jansen to comment?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
The difference being again that if it's added in this fashion to the levy, then it's the current year's levy that's paying for it rather than existing reserve funds. But similar to the others, this particular to the extent that it relates to one-time items could be used from existing reserves.
Councillor Liberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'd like to put that amendment on the floor that we remove it here and add it and put it onto the rate stabilization fund. Is that the fund that we would go to, Mr. Jansen?
Through you to Councillor Liberts, we don't have another reserve that would otherwise lend itself to that. So, if you're to be using an existing operating reserve fund, I would suggest the general levy rate stabilization.
Councillor Liberts, anything further? You still have the floor. Okay, that amendment is now on the floor. Councillor Nutt.
Yes, I just have a question to Mr. Jansen. each department in the town has a training budget. How much of that training budget was used by each department last year?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Madam Chair. There is a part of your package does include some statistics on the use of the training budget from 2015, as well as the breakdown for what's proposed in the base for 2016. I believe it's under tab 15. If you have anything specific there to ask.
I just was wondering if there were funds left over that we could fund this maybe through the departmental training budgets, or, you know, I know you said general rate stabilization fund, but this is a small, unique amount. It's a one-time thing.
Sorry, that was should be tab 13.
Okay.
So, sorry, if the question is, could we use savings from the 15 training budget to allocate towards this initiative, I would suggest that any savings from training would generally speaking be part of the general surplus that would go to the general levy rate stabilization. So, in effect, it would be the same thing.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? That carries. I'll call the question on the motion as amended, and that is that the 2016 supplementary one-time funding for the fire department operational review of $15,000 be taken out of the rate stabilization fund. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to part 4.3, that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for the Niagara Boulevard cycle route expansion contribution in the amount of $100,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Passero? That's now on the floor. Is there any questions or comments, Your Worship?
I wonder, Madam Chair, if we could get a comment from the Director with respect to the funding of this particular item. It's a capital item. It's a one-time item. Any comments about whether this could be funded from a reserve to be replenished with the surplus from 2015? Bad idea. Hit my hand if I get caught in a cookie jar.
Mr. Jansen?
No, I wouldn't have much to add. I mean, other than to clarify, we do consider this operating in nature. While the works themselves are capital, they're not, in the end, capitalized by the town. They're not our capital, so it's an operating contribution to the parks. So that's why we would deem this to be an operating amount. But you're right, again, this is a one-time item that could seek to be funded elsewhere. It is capital in nature, but it's just not part in that way of our capital budget. So it's not to say that we couldn't fund it from a capital reserve as well.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we fund this from a capital reserve fund to be replenished from the 2015 surplus.
That amendment's on the floor. Is there any questions or comments? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm having difficulty with all of these items being taken out of reserve. Can you give us a rundown of where we're at with depleting our reserves or our surpluses? Would you be able to do that for me?
Mr. Jansen, do you have a total on that?
Sure, I'll just give me one moment and I can add up all the items that we've converted to reserve funding.
Maybe we could take a 10-minute break in the meantime, and it'd allow Mr. Jansen some time to find those numbers for us.
$345,000.
But it's not sustainable. We have an exception here. We're not budgeting.
Bigger cost falling off.
Next one, I'm going to say 55. You know, take it because it's contingent. 5,000. So this one's gone. Whoops.
Okay, I think we'll start back in session now. And where we left off is part 4.3 has been amended, and the amendment is that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for the Niagara Boulevard cycle route expansion contribution in the amount of $100,000 be approved and taken from the capital reserve fund. And Councillor Butler, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe we were just waiting for a response from Mr.
Jansen. Right. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yes, the total of all items approved so far with additional reserve funding is $345,000.
Anything further, Councillor Butler?
I'm sorry, so that 345, did you say? That includes the cycle route? I feel like we're playing a dangerous game by depleting our reserves. I don't feel comfortable with that, but, you know, it's the will of the council to do that, then the majority would rule, but I would be opposed to that.
Mayor Redekop?
Yeah, the idea isn't, I mean, I suppose it's a different side of the same coin, but the idea isn't to deplete this without replenishing it. And we know that there's money that's going to be available to replenish it. And that may be two sides of the same coin. But, so I don't see it as actually depleting the reserve fund, long term.
Any additional comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand Councillor Butler's point, because at some point when you go into the future, you know, we might not have those surpluses and might need those surpluses rather than being transferred to the reserve to here. We may want to utilize those for another purpose. And I am of the mindset that, you know, as we near the end here, maybe we should be looking at where our total percentage is at this point in time. And I only mention that because it's a one-time item. In principle or in theory, it does drop off next year. However, there are always new items coming forward next year to take the space of the items falling off. And sometimes if you don't have a couple of those items, now you are looking at dipping into a reserve or a levy increase. So I'm just wondering if maybe we could have a very quick look at where we stand here overall, and maybe councillors can give it their own perspective in their mind as to are we where we think we need to be. If the answer to that is yes, I would say let's leave this from the levy, give us some space next year. If the answer is no, we still need to trim a little, then I think the votes on your behalf would have to be taken out. I would just offer that to my colleagues as conversation. Thank you.
Mr. Jansen, can you scroll down on the report?
Yes, if this item were to be funded from reserves as amended, the total at this point, excluding the last three items, would be just under 5.75% for the town or 1.99% overall. The remaining items add approximately 0.12% overall to the levy.
Councillor Pissarro, did you have anything further?
No.
Are there any other questions or comments? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Opposed? That amendment is defeated. I'll now call the question, now back to the original amendment. Are there any questions or comments with regard to the original original motion? I'm sorry, Councillor Roberts, you look like I've confused you. The original motion is back on the floor, and that is that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for the Niagara Boulevard cycle route expansion contribution in the amount of $100,000 be approved. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That carries.
That brings us to 4.4, that the 2016 supplementary one-time funding for the Battle of Ridgeway 150th anniversary event in the amount of $55,958 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is one of those items that I'm hopeful that we receive good news and that we do receive this. So I'm anticipating and hoping that this is one of those items that drops off sooner rather than later. But in any event, it does need to be there so that our staff can go on about the good work they've been doing to prepare for this great event. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions or comments? Seeing none. Oh, Mayor Redicott?
With regard to the comments and the application for the potential that this full amount would be funded, I wonder if this is something that we should contemplate from reserves, because if it does get funded, then the money just stays in the reserve as opposed to sitting there money that we've allocated as part of the budget, operating budget, and not required. It may be that we need, I thought it was the whole amount that could possibly come from a grant, but it could be that it's all but $10,000. It's if we get the grant, we're in good shape, and if we're not, well, we need to pay it. And yeah, I see that. Would it be appropriate to ask?
I would like to ask Ms. Davies if she wouldn't mind confirming the amount of grant funding that's available. Okay, so this might not be needed.
This is a cushion in the event the grant isn't received. So I'm wondering through you, Madam Chair, if this might be a reserve fund item.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, it is.
That's the shortest answer we've ever received from Mr. Johnson.
I don't think he understood the question.
Well, that's good, because I hardly ever understand the answer. I'd like to move that then, Madam Chair. I'm feeling I might be on safer ground this time.
So you're putting the amendment on the floor that this $55,958 be taken from the reserve funds?
Correct.
Are that amendments on the floor? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
I will support that. I will be truly shocked if this application is denied. If we do not get this money, there is not a municipality across this country that should be getting anything from this fund. And thank you to Ms. Davies and Mr. Wilson for the work they've done. But I fully expect that this money is coming back. So I'll support that.
Are there any further comments? Okay, I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? That passes. Now back to the motion as amended. Are there any comments or questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That passes. And just for clarification, that the $55,958 is approved and it's taken from the reserve fund. That brings us to part 4.5, that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for Women's Place of South Niagara grant in the amount of $5,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor McDermott?
Yes, I think that we should probably defer this to our gaming department. Rather than be here, I think what we should be doing is checking with gaming to see if there's any chance of maybe upping their funding there, because maybe they can redo their budget for their needs. So I believe that's the domain for this grant.
Okay, so would, Madam Clerk, would we defeat this request then and refer to gaming department?
With the help of my colleagues, I'm seeing nodding heads, so yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Okay, so this motion is still on the floor. Are there any other questions or comments? Councillor Passero? Councillor Passero, and then Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support that as well, and I think I remember correctly to their presentation, it was based on increased service levels and need within the community, and I think that would be a great case to be made in front of gaming. And I think that option would also present them with more stable funding over the longer term versus a one-time allocation. And given the fact that we've seen an increase at both halls and several groups have already received funding increases to their allocation, there is a potential they have might have already seen some increased dollars coming their way in the time since they submitted their original presentation request and to our deliberations tonight. So I think that's a great idea from Councilor McDermott to defer that to gaming.
Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few comments on this, and I'm going to support Councilor McDermott's recommendation for the simple fact that all of the reductions that all the charities saw across the town have been restored to what they were previous eBingo. With the exchange and the Canadian dollar weakening, plus an increase in bingo revenues coming through, there's actually extra money, and there are going to be additional allocations that are made. From sitting on the gaming committee, we decided as a board that we would solicit for new interest, but also that we would increase, not only restore everybody to the previous levels, but also increase their budgets from there because of the exchange rate. It's created a huge surplus of dollars. So we want to get that money out into the community as soon as possible, and I'm sure that they've received an allocation already.
Okay. Anything further? Councillor Lewitz.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just for the clarification, that's all. What we're being asked to do is to defeat this with the recommendation that it will be brought to our gaming corporation, and the funding would be hopefully provided through that. Just for clarification, just so the people that are listening understand where we're going when we defeat this.
Yes, and Madam Clerk, please confirm or correct me if I'm wrong, but we're going to defeat this motion, and then we're going to make recommendation or a motion to defer to gaming department.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's not a deferral motion on the floor per se. It's simply direction to staff, given the defeat of the motion.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor? No, we're voting. Okay. No, there's no amendment on the floor. So we're going to defeat this or support it, the allocation. If you don't want the allocation, you're going to defeat this motion. All those in favor? That motion is defeated. Oh, all those opposed? That is defeated. With report to staff to make recommendation to the gaming department. Part 4.6, that the 2016 supplementary one-time new funding for the Ridgeway BIA tree pit irrigation in the amount of $1,557 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor Butler? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be supporting this this evening. The ladies that take care of the tree pits have oftentimes taken money out of their own pockets to make sure that things are going in the right direction or growing in the right direction. So it's a worthy price to pay, I suppose.
Thank you. Are there any additional comments, Councillor Passero?
I'm fully supportive of this as well. I'm cognizant that generally situations like this are borne by the BIA themselves, but this is a unique case, and I think going towards future improvements towards districts all over town, I think this is a lesson learned for what we could do better. And ultimately, this is an item that will pay itself back over the next 1.3 years, so I think this is a good, effective use of our funds.
Any additional comments or questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Part 5.1, that the 2016 Fort Erie Lions Senior Citizens Complex grant in the amount of $22,750 be approved. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott? that's on the floor. Is there any questions or comments? Madam Chair, can you just tell us what tab that's at? 8? What page? I think it's 9, isn't it? All right.
Seven, this one is page
45. Tab 7, page 45 through 48. Okay, this is now on the floor. Is there any questions or comments? Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just need some clarification, and I'm always at this point whenever this is brought up. And I'm just curious as to why is it that we fund the senior citizen complex in Fort Erie, yet we don't see any requests or we don't do any funding for any other seniors complex. And just maybe staff could bring us up on why it is.
Mr. Jansen, did you want to
comment? Yes, through you, Madam Chair. There are other, we also do support the Beachcomber Seniors Complex, and staff, if there's any staff that are aware of any others that in some way we support, but I believe those are the two as noted here. Yeah, and as requested, this is in accordance with the Ontario Elderly Persons Centres Act, which mandates municipalities to provide 20% of the operating funding to senior centres.
So if the Lions in Ridgeway, the Lions Senior Citizens Complex in Ridgeway, if they were to apply, then they could qualify for some of this? Why?
It's different. This is for seniors' activities and programming. It's not a residence. So this part of the, as I understand it, the Fort Erie Lions Senior Citizens Complex is Douglas Heights, which is utilized for seniors' programming and activities.
Where is this site?
It's on High Street.
That's the complex where they live, right?
That's a building next door.
Oh, there's two different buildings there?
High rise.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Thanks. Thanks for the clarification.
Are there any additional comments or questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Part 5.2, that the 2016 BIA watering grant in the amount of $28,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott? That's on the floor. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. 5.3, that the 2016 Beachcomber Seniors Complex grant in the amount of $10,500 be approved. Can I have a mover? Mayor Redicott, are there any questions or comments? Councillor Butler?
I just wonder, Madam Chair, through you to Mr. Jansen, is this the same kind of situation then where we're designating funding because of the activities?
Through you, Chair, I'm just trying to get my bearings and recall. I believe it is. I'm just trying to see. I don't think it's noted on here, though, in terms of it being the percentage, but you look at the grant portion of $10,500, it would approximate their total expenses for the year, so I believe it's the same scenario.
Thank you.
Anything further? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Part 5.4 of the 2016 Fort Erie Horticultural Society grant in the amount of $1,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Nutt? Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That carries. Part 5.5, that the 2016 Community Events Grant in the amount of $24,350 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Becerra, are there any questions or comments? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Item 5.6 of the 2016 EDTC grant in the amount of $648,852 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott? Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Here's another situation where this council and any council here at the town is going to have to make some pretty tough decisions. The EDTC made their presentation to us earlier and requested this amount of money. But I went over the report and their request. I didn't see anything where they said what they were going to do for the upcoming year for the $648,000. Basically, what it says is that they're going to continue to support what has been going on in this town over the last year. And secondly, there was monies that were granted to them last year that they didn't use for wages, $70,000. I have been told that they used that $70,000 for the report for the industrial land strategy. But when you go back and you look at their mandate as the EDTC, their mandate is to provide the town with reports. So in their funding, they're supposed to provide us with these reports. And they're using, I guess they would, you would call it a surplus of their wages, and saying, well, no, we use that money for this. So I would like to make the amendment that we reduce this by $70,000 and that they use that $70,000 for the land strategy report and take that out of their reserves. Now, there was some discussion about the reserves also. And I know there were some comments made with the library board, the fact that they had some reserves because of their shortfall in some of their employment. And some of the comments were that, okay for now, but don't let it get too high. Well, the EDTC has a reserves of over $100,000, and people keep telling me that they use that just in case there's some kind of an emergency and they need to use it. Well, I've been on council for 5 years, and I've never seen them use it. In fact, when there was an emergency for PharmaCare, they came to the town for $50,000 for a report. So, and never touched their reserves. So here's an example of the town spending $648,000 on an organization when you can go online and get the report from Windsor that shows that the recommendation that was made to the city of Windsor was to have 2.5 full-time employees at the city for $400,000 to do the same thing that we're paying $648,000 for. And I think that this council needs to take a serious look at why are we spending $648,000 and not getting any reports from them. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know what's going on. And I want to put the amendment on the floor that we reduce this by $70,000.
That amendment's on the floor. Mayor Redicott?
Thank you. I won't support that amendment. The reality is that there was a gap in staff last year at the EDTC. We had an opportunity to question Mr. Tiber with respect to that. We know that there was about a $70,000 surplus arising out of that, and we know that that money was utilized in part to pay for the industrial land strategy, which originally, when we all arrived on the scene, was in the hands of the municipality. But really, after reviewing that, it seemed to make more sense to be in the hands of the EDTC, but it wasn't something that they had budgeted for. So, of course, they would require funds. Other parts of the $70,000 reserve were also allocated to certain things, one of which is about a $9,700 item that I'm confident is not going to be utilized forward. I won't support the reduction of $70,000. I would support a reduction of $9,700 for an item that wasn't utilized last year and isn't going to be utilized this year, I'm sure. But in short, I won't support this amendment.
Thank you.
And can I just further say that we know that we have a memorandum of agreement. We've seen that. We know that that's a document that's subject to change. And I think that over the course of the coming year, Councillor McDermott and I will work on trying to implement some changes to that agreement so that we do receive what we expect as value from the EDTC. Don't forget that they're the economic development professionals. So just to a great extent, we have to look at them in terms of what it is we should be doing. But I'm sure that we all have thoughts on some things that could be done, maybe some suggestions that could be raised in how we retain and expand existing businesses. Those are things that we have it within our control to do. In terms of the report from Windsor, that's great. There are some commitments that the EDTC has made in terms of its location. There are some reasons why a separate arm's length corporation was created in the first instance. Maybe those things have changed. Maybe they haven't. But in terms of the EDTC, it's a tool that we can utilize and should utilize. And it's like many other things. We will get out of it what we agree to put into it in terms of advice, input, feedback, and resources. So all to say, again, I won't support the $70,000 reduction. I would a $9,700 reduction, though.
Councillor Becerra?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't support the $70,000 reduction. It was a planned use of surplus funds. The senior EDO position, as the mayor mentioned, did not exist. There was a vacancy. They did have somebody there on a contract basis. And when the discussion started happening regarding the industrial land survey, the EDDC decided to release that contract position and put those dollars towards this. So it's not as if they came into money and decided to spend it on something. They planned to spend it on something, and I think it was a good use of those funds. So I won't support the amendment. Regardless of where that goes, speaking further to what the mayor may propose, I know that when the EDTC was here, they presented their surplus figure as a forecast. And I think that was now a month back or 6 weeks back. I can't remember when their original presentation was, but I would just be hesitant to deduct any monies not knowing where they currently stand. If they had any more bills that have come in, maybe the $70,000 is spent. But I would like to, if we do pass a motion in that regard, just fast-tracking towards what the mayor might put forward, I'd like to have some caveat that we kind of have the expectation maybe get additional information from the EDTC prior to the budget bylaw going forward in case we want to amend it at that time. So those are my comments kind of on both issues as they play out. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Councillor Liberts.
Yes, thank you very much. And I hope the mayor brings forward his recommendation to reduce this. But going back with some of the comments that the mayor made, in that with the EDTC, we decide what we're going to get out of it and the money that we put into it. And that goes back to the report that the EDTC brought forward to this council a few weeks back. And if you look at the pie chart, there is about $45,000 that is being used by the EDTC once they spend
and use all their expense money that they can use to promote Fort Erie. So we give $648,000 so that they can spend $45,000 to promote Fort Erie. And to me, that is not getting anything enough out of the $648,000. There has been numerous people over the years that have been asking on a regular basis, give us the reports, give us the information on what the EDTC has provided for the town of Fort Erie over the last 7 years. And so that we can justify why we're spending this kind of money for an EDTC when we could have an EDTC in-house. You would still have an EDTC, but it would be in-house. And there would be a savings. I mean, the report from Windsor shows that there'd be a savings for them. I'm sure there'd be a savings for the municipality. And we can go back to the memorandum of understanding between the EDTC, and then we can tell them that we want these reports and we want those reports. But we need what the EDTC is supposed to be providing us, and that is economic development. And I don't know that we're seeing that. I mean, even now, we had the Miller's Creek Marina project. And everybody knows, if you drive by there today, it used to be Miller Creek Marina. It's now back to the Niagara Parks Marina because, obviously, Miller Creek Marina project is no longer on the table. But the mayor is working with NPC trying to regenerate that program. We got our CAO spending hours and hours and hours of his time working on the CMS.
Councillor Lubberts, I just want to interrupt you. We're talking about your amendment that you have on the floor. I don't really think it's the appropriate time to point out different tasks that maybe you feel that the EDTC is involved in. I think we should just stick to the amendment on the floor.
Well, I'm sticking with the amendment because it's the amount of money that we're spending on the EDTC. So I think it's important that we all understand that the EDTC, we're spending $648,000 on the EDTC, and I don't think that we're getting the money out of it that we should be getting out of it. And my amendment's still on the floor, and I ask you to call the question.
Actually, I am going to allow Councillor McDermott to comment. He hasn't commented yet. So before that question is called, Councillor McDermott.
Well, I'm not going to support the motion. I really have trouble with, we have people come to us and make delegations, whether it be the library board or the EDTC. I don't remember, but 3 or 4 questions from Councillor Nutt directed to the EDTC about any of their business at the last meeting that we had them here. I don't remember that. Why aren't we, if we're this concerned about that, why aren't we pummeling Mr. T. Bear with questions? To me, the first year has been a learning experience, and I'm trying to garner as much information as I can get from the committees that I sit on. I'm not seeing what Councilor Lubberts is seeing yet. I'm not seeing perfect. I'm not saying that change doesn't have to happen. I'm not saying that it's a perfect world at the EDTC, but the fact of the matter is, if we're going to have people come and make delegations with regards to their budgets, we could have the common respect to stand up and ask them the questions here rather than after the fact when nobody's here to answer the questions. So all I know is our economic future is based on the partnerships between the EDTC and our town staff at this point. You know, lots of things have gone on over the past 4 or 5 years. One thing I picked up on was communications. You know, communications between town hall and the EDTC and back and forth. You know, they were almost non-existent. So there are areas where we have to retone whether we, and the mayor's right. I think the mayor can tell you that we both make comments at these meetings. We're not shy and bashful about our way of doing business. I don't see what Councillor Lubberts is saying, but I'm not going to support a $70,000 decrease when we need the Economic Development Corporation to have a jump in their step and to do the work that's necessary to move some of these projects ahead in whatever role they play. And so I am not going to support any decrease to either board because of the fact that we didn't do our due diligence as counselors here in asking those questions when they're standing in front of us. All I have to say.
Councillor Nutt, and then Councillor Butler, and then we'll go back to you. Well, Councillor Nutt and Councillor Butler hasn't spoken yet, so.
Madam Chair, I know you recognize me because you like the color of my shirt tonight first, so. that's right. Could have been the candy as well, but I'm not going to support the amendment because I think there's some success stories in recent years, and I think that, as Councillor McDermott pointed out, and Councillor or Mayor Redekop, His Worship, I agree with both. Garbage in, garbage out. If we didn't put anything into it, we're not going to get anything out of it. That's really how I feel. But in my ward, I've seen activity. I've seen results. Most recently, Black Creek purchasing a new piece of property that's going to create some significant jobs. Ferguson Newdorf coming from St. Catharines to Fort Erie. That was the EDC prompting. So I think they are doing, but as council have we put in the effort with the EDTC to give them direction? They came here as a delegation. I asked questions. I want to know about the future. What impact can we capture from our neighbors' communities and capitalize on? Because not everybody has an industrial park with space in it. I mean, Niagara Falls is still building out theirs along the highway. We can see that activity. So I want to know from their expertise what we can capture because they're in it day to day. And that's why I ask those questions. So again, I'm going to support their budget the way it stands and what they've asked for this year. Do I think we need to look at the information we're getting from them? I agree with Councillor McDermott. It's not a perfect world. Communication can be better. Changes probably need to be made. And I think that the way they presented their information this year was at the request of council. We wanted to see something different. We wanted to see something. But I can tell you this. I've taken a bunch of those books to Burlington, Oakville. And when I'm in my day-to-day, I drop a few off here. I drop a few off there. And I think it's a great advertising tool for Fort Erie. So I'm not going to support the amendment, and I am going to support the budget as it stands.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, I don't have much more to add than what my fellow colleagues have. It's unfortunate that Councillor Lubert feels the way that he does, but I will not be supporting his amendment, and I will be supporting the budget as is. Thank you.
Councillor Pizzero.
I just wanted to speak to one point because it was brought up, and that was the Miller Creek Marina. If you go back several years, the Niagara Parks Commission wanted to close that marina. And I can't remember who the mayor was at the time, but it was at his request that the EDTC get involved. So the plan that we are trying to get back on the table and everybody is so supportive of was an EDTC-led directive. So sometimes in economic development, although Councillor Nutt has some great points, it's not always what have you done for me lately. Sometimes there are things that are done that are good things that just take years and years to work their way through the system. So to be expecting a pamphlet or a good news story out of that office every week is not realistic, especially when a lot of the stuff they do can't be publicized. It's privileged information. But I don't ever feel in the dark. The mayor is on the board. Councillor McDermott is on the board. If I have questions, I ask. And I believe that the general manager and the chair of their board said if a member of council wanted to attend a meeting that we would be welcome to do that if we scheduled ourselves in advance to avoid any quorum issues. So I don't share the same sentiment as my colleague across the way. But I just wanted to bring up those points is that, you know, with the marina, everything we're fighting for now started with the mayor of the day, Mayor Redekop, and the EDTC spearheading that effort. So let's not forget what happened in the past because we always have to deal with it at some point in the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mayor Redekop and then Councillor Lubert.
Yeah, I just wanted to correct the record, Councillor McDermott. I did ask a number of questions of both EDTC and the Library Board. In fact, the chair of the EDTC criticized me for asking so many questions, and I told them that that's my job, as is every other counselor here. So I did delve into the budget. I did take a look at what they'd done. I did ask, and you may recall when we get to the library, I did ask quite a few questions about their vacant spot that hadn't been filled, what have you. So I don't want people to think that I sat here like a wallflower, which is nature. But I hope you recall that I did ask some questions.
Councillor Lubert. Oh. Are you responding to the mayor? Okay.
Maybe I misworded that. What I was talking about was if you really have questions about the budget itself. So if you have something in the back of your head where you're going to say, well, I might want to cut this budget by X amount of dollars, that wasn't said. That's basically what I'm saying. The mayor did ask questions, and so the councillor not. So I don't want anybody to have that misunderstanding.
Thank you. Councillor Roberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think if we go through our list tonight and look at some of the things that we cut, we didn't make those decisions 6 weeks ago. We made them to this evening. So, and further to that, I just want to comment on Councillor Nutt when he brings up Ferguson Newdorf and trying to give that credit to the EDTC. I know personally that that's not the case, and that it was a former employee from Virtus that got a job at Ferguson Newdorf, and when he was there, he explained to the people there that the facility that he worked in Stevensville, he made the arrangements for the real estate, and they went and took a look at it and bought the property. So I got that from the gentleman's wife. So, I mean, and then asking questions during the budget presentation that the EDTC made several times in the past when the EDTC was here making their presentation. We were told that there's all kinds of jobs here in Fort Erie and people are looking for to hire people and they need skilled tradespeople. And I asked specifically, can you give me the names of those companies? Because I know some skilled tradespeople that are looking for jobs, and I never got an answer. So asking the question and not getting the answer, after a while, you know you're not going to get the answer, so why ask the question?
Okay, I'm going to call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Opposed? That amendment's defeated. Back to the original motion. Any questions?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to move. I know that it's likely not going anywhere, but I'd like to move that we reduce the EDTC budget by $9,700. That really relates to
$9,000
proposed trip that I know is not going to take place, and I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on the operation of the EDTC. And, so anyways, I'd like to move that.
Okay, so that amendment's on the floor, and again, that amendment is a reduction of $9,700 to the EDTC budget. Are there any questions or comments with regard to that amendment? All those in favor? Opposed? That amendment is also defeated. Back to the original motion. Are there any other questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? This motion carries. That brings us to item 5.7, that the 2016 Fort Erie Public Library grant in the amount of $1,478,087 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott? Are there any questions or comments? Mayor Redicott?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I did specifically question about this. I have had some discussions with the chair of the board subsequently with respect to this. There was an empty position that has not been filled that created a surplus. That position has still not been filled. There's going to be a surplus arising out of that, even on last year's budget numbers. The amount was about $27,000 that I believe, is going to be picked up just in the first 3 months of this year on that item. And I'd like to move that we reduce that budget by that amount, $27,000.
Okay, that amendment's on the floor. Are there any comments or questions regarding that amendment? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am going to support that amendment. When Mr. Schofield, I think his name is, Schofield was here, he did say that he did have also a surplus of $172,000 over the course of the past 2 years, but in total he has close to or slightly over $300,000. So I don't believe that that this is an item that's going to make a difference, considering the fact that he has had a vacancy for the last 8 months.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Are there any other comments or questions? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I find it you know, very, very interesting that given the library board what they can do and what they will do with the money that they receive, it is clear to everybody in the town of Fort Erie what the library board will give the town of Fort Erie. Yet, we take another organization, the same situation, and we have all kinds of excuses as to why we should not reduce their budgets by any means, and yet they can't provide any reports to the town or any reports to council as to how they're progressing in with the town and how they're moving forward with their mandate. I won't be supporting this, but it's quite obvious it will pass. And I just find it a shame that we will take away from the library board when they can provide a service that's clear to everybody in this town.
Mayor Redicott?
I don't know that there's a larger supporter of the library system in this town than me or my family. We've spent, you know, that's fine, Councillor Lubberts. You can say that. That's fine. I think you're conflating some of these issues here. You didn't get your way on one issue. I understand that. But I think it's clouding or may cloud your thinking with respect to this. We heard from the library chair and the CAO with respect to their financial situation. It's a very well-run organization. It is a jewel in Fort Erie's crown. I just spoke to someone who is doing some work on a strategic plan for the library. I think I spoke to her, I don't even know what the heck day it is today. Maybe some of you did as well. She clearly understands how important the library is to this community and how it is to every community. It's part of our effort to try to elevate the level of education in this community. And it provides a tremendous service to young, to old, and everybody in between, whether they're people that grew up in this community or whether they're newcomers, whether they're refugees. They provide a vast range of services. So that isn't the point. I'm not saying, you know, and I regret when issues get to the point where someone's motives are questioned because they don't support a particular item. So I just want to make it very clear that just because I think that this is a portion of a budget that could be modestly trimmed, $27,000 out of $1.448 million is not a very large sum of money. Maybe large for the operation of the library. You know, I know that they have expanded, they've re-expanded the hours that they had at some of the branches, hours that they had previously cut. So I just want to make it clear that I'm not doing this for reasons other than budgetary, purely budgetary. And I've spent more time in that library than I'm going to say most people in this municipality. Maybe not so much recently because I can't even read the books that I've got myself. But it's an important part of our community. I don't want the library board to think otherwise. If this carries, great. If it doesn't carry, that's fine too. I still support the library regardless and will be there to assist and support the library whenever I can. this is a budget, and we're talking now about the whole community, and from my perspective, trying to do a balance. That's what the budget is all about. It's a balance. And maybe you don't agree with me on this, fine. Don't question my motives, though.
Are there any other questions or comments with regard to the amendment on the floor? Councillor Pissarro?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will support the amendment as well, especially given the CEO's comments that it is palatable, and conversation I've had with him since then to reaffirm what he has thought. I just wanted to give a quote, and I have to credit, I don't know the original author, but I can tell you who's told me this quote every budget for the last 5 years, and that's Amy Robach. And it's, "Libraries will get you through times of no money long before money will get you through times of no libraries." So it's a very valuable service in our community. I do support them. But I would just let council be aware that we receive the library's budgets on a rolling 3-year basis. So they've already proposed to us what they're looking at for 2017 and for 2018. And if we don't approve this 27 as part of our base budget, that then has a compounding factor the other way going forward. So they will have to make some changes for 2017 and 2018, or contrary to that, come back to get this money back again. But at least they know that that's what they're working towards, and that may have to be a decision that we make going forward. So I just offer that for information. Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions? Councilor McDermott?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing that came of that last meeting when we had the library board here. You know, they really got the message from council with regards to reserve funds and how they will manage that in the future. So part of that strategic planning will be to, you know, take care of that as well. So, you know, I know they were very concerned and are committed to work with council to whittle down that area so that they're not carrying that much. And in the case of where they might be and they're able to give it back, there has been, I know, some consideration going on about giving back to council at times when they don't need it. So, you know, they fully understood the message that council and the concerns of the mayor. And so, you know, I'm going to support this amendment. I think it's a fair amendment.
Anything further, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few comments. I had arranged a meeting with Mr. Shufeldt and the CAO and that to bring to the attention the library's opportunity to garner some cost savings in some of their material costs in regards to their office machines and things like that. There's a new vendor record program through the province that obviously the library qualifies for. Mr. Shufeldt was unaware. So they're looking at other options, and I'm comfortable through the one-on-one conversations I've had with him, and that he is looking at leveraging as many town resources as possible to realize some additional cost savings. So I'll be supporting the budgetary amendment.
I'll call the question. All those in favor of the amendment? Opposed? That amendment carries. Now back to the motion as amended, and that will read that the 2016 Fort Erie Public Library grant in the amount of $1,451,087 be approved. That's on the floor. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. Part 1.6 of the 2016 Bridgeburg Station BIA levy in the amount of $41,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? We're at 6.1. Oh, sorry, 6.1, if I may have said 1.6. That's on the floor. Moved by Councillor McDermott. Are there any questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Part 6.2, that the 2016 Ridgeway BIA levy in the amount of $35,000 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor Butler, are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That carries. Part 6.3, that the 2016 Crystal Beach BIA levy in the amount of $9,931 be approved. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott? Or Councillor Lubertz? Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That carries. And before we move along to Part 7, Mr. Jansen, would you mind just possibly reading out what the final figures are?
Yes, for Part 7, that Council approves the town's general levy of $24,660,851, comprised of base budget of $23,083,534 and supplementary budget of $1,577,317 and direct staff to submit the related bylaw for approval on February 22nd, 2016.
Thank you. Can I have a mover? Mayor Redicott, are there any questions or comments? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to Part 8. That Council excludes capital asset amortization in the amount of $5,922,200 from the general levy, the 2016 general levy operating budget. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott, are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That carries.
Before we adjourn, I just want to thank staff for all the work that they put into this budget, and I want to thank Council for the quite civil and interesting and very helpful debate that we've had with respect to this. So you're all to be commended.
Thank you. And before we adjourn, I believe Councillor Nutt had an additional question or comment.
Yes, I'm just looking for some guidance for Madam Clerk. In regards to the budget and all the discussion around possibly debenturing for accelerating capital infrastructure work, specifically with one of the water mains, would this be the appropriate time to request a report from staff on what that undertaking would look like, or should that be done at a council and committee meeting under infrastructure services?
For you, Madam Chair, I think it would be more appropriate that that's brought up at a council and committee meeting.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
And I, too, before we adjourn, want to thank Jonathan and your entire team for all the hard work that you've put into this budget, and I know it wasn't easy. We've had all kinds of back and forth questions and comments and taking allocations from here to there. So we really do appreciate all your effort. And I just seen your hand up, Councillor Fitzgerald.
Yeah, my last comment. I just want to acknowledge Councillor Zanko for her work as chair throughout the budget process. It is one of the more demanding and difficult positions that you face on council. And I think you did an admirable job, especially in your first budget go around as chair. So congratulations to all involved.
Okay. And Councillor Nutt, that brings us to you. Would you like to adjourn?
Yes, Madam Chair. The Council and Committee, or the Council and Budget Committee for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 9:21 p.m. to resume in our regular council meeting on Monday, June 8th. Or sorry, February. Yeah, I was giving us a little break. Sorry, I meant February 8th.
All those in favor? That carries.